720 WGN live here. I don't want to say the Allstate Showcase Studios is high atop Tribune Tower in the seventh floor. In for Nick DiGilio, it is Dane Neal here. We've got the prodigal nephew to my right, and it's great to have, you know, long time. She's 20-year, like, you know, guest on different programs, in there doing things. But this, I think, is a show when we get to sit in here and sit in for Nick that you feel most at home because of your you know, genetic connections, right? Is the prodigal nephew of Larry from Aurora.
The prodigal nephew, yeah, that's me.
Dino Tavary in the booth, Dan Segru as well. So, Dan, we've got a lot of stuff. We've got an exciting kind of eclectic blend of a program today. We're sort of in tweener mode, you know, where there isn't any obvious. We're not in the middle of grill season, so I know we won't be talking a lot of grills unless people want to. 3-1-2.
That's certainly been warm enough the last couple of days, maybe to throw something on the grill.
Yeah, let's do a grill segment. No, why not? Just get into the bathtub and get that Weber going and make sure the window's cracked. This is a little bit of safety tips for you as well. No, because we're not quite at Christmas, so we can talk holiday traditions, Christmas, some of the things people are doing, gifts that they're contemplating, and ways to make that special holiday special for that certain special someone. And then also, I think we're close enough to the new year to kind of start looking back to see who's in the rearview mirror.
Should probably stay there.
Well, for some of the things, but also, and Dan has got this too, I love the whole look back thing, and we kind of say, you know, 2017 in review. You know, we can look and we do the, oftentimes, you know, we'll do that, you know, the montage of those who've left too soon, or maybe left right on time, or maybe we're overdoing leaving. You know, so.
Any one of the three there.
Right. Okay. So you can do those things. But I love this, and Dan had come up with some topics too, because one of the things that we're kind of looking back on is the Saturday morning cartoon. Because now as you get a little bit older, you kind of look back, certainly it's the year, but then you think of things that have changed not only in 2017, but changed forever and just don't exist anymore. And so Dan had mentioned some of the Saturday morning cartoons, and it was only, I mean, it was maybe like a month or so ago when it hit me. It hits me, you know, a few times a year as the kids get a little bit older. We've got, you know, Maxwell's now 11. Isn't it hard to believe,
right?
You know, right?
And, yeah, I can't believe that.
I don't believe it. He's got an ID to prove it. He'll prove it to you. And Eleanor is 9, Vivian's 6, still small enough where you could say, like, well, we're not that old. Vivian's, like, you know, she's little. And you look at some of the things that you have to explain to your kids as they grow up, you know, like, what's rampant crime? You know, what's this? What's that? You know, is that a hobo? You know, whatever kind of things the kids have questions about. And there's some things that just don't exist anymore where you really do have to break it down. You got to put the lab coat on. You got to have the whiteboard. You got to say, here's me, here's you. This is history. And some of the traditions that Dino, you and I have known, loved, appreciated, and of course our listeners as well, just don't exist anymore. And you've got to kind of explain it to kids in a way, in the Wayback Machine. Like, it's the same thing as, like, the, you know, this is Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, this is a phone with a cord. You know, they're kind of in the same way.
Yeah, you know what? You got to do the Mr. Peabody and Sherman Wayback Machine, no question about that. And you have to explain what that is to the kids, because they don't get it. I find myself.
So now you can tell your joke, which I appreciated, Dino, Mr. Peabody and the Wayback. But you have to explain, you know, what the joke is, then who the participants are.
Oh, exactly. Now how you got to it, and I find myself, you know, when I'm around kids that are just people that are, you know, even 20 years younger than me, or at times I'll say something and I'll date myself, and then I'll have to stop myself and say, oh, let me explain what that meant,
young fella.
Exactly.
Wait, okay.
All of a sudden I'm older. It all snuck up on me.
So Mr. Peabody, I think that's a great segue too, because he is an animated personality that I think was, where would you say, you know, Mr. Peabody would be? He's kind of running around. So would he be a D-list actor? You know, he was not. He was not an A-list. You know, he was.
Yeah, I say that was probably about right. I would say he was not your top echelon of cartoon dog characters, but you know, he's in a team picture. I'd say that
for kids, they have it so easy now, because now, entertainment of all varieties, anything that you can even think of, we've got it too. You know, you can just go to your phone, any old commercial, you can bring it up, any old character, you can bring up any old sports thing, you can bring it up. Do you know, the days are gone of two guys arguing at a bar about who had the best batting average, because
all you gotta do is look it up,
right,
on your phone.
Yeah,
I'll tell you it was right.
I'll tell you right now. Boom. And that's I was wrong. So you have all those things. So as we look back to the cartoons, remember the the days, and this was just it was just a kind of an entertainment desert. There was one day a week that you had that kids would look forward to. You know, of course, you had Christmas and birthdays and maybe some other things, but Saturday mornings, right? Yeah. You would wake up. I remember waking up and staring at a test pattern, waking for the us of the
how
past.
How come all these dots are still there?
Right, just say, like, come on, please wake up. 7 o'clock, they got to. And if they were even a minute late, you were just like, gosh, what's going on with the world? And then it would all start, and you had, I don't remember, do you know, what was it? Was it 3 hours? Was it 4 hours? It seemed like, you know, it was a nice big chunk of time, but Saturday morning, it was cartoon
time.
Yeah,
I want to say it was all the way up to noon, and it always rounded out with the Bill Cosby's cartoon at 11:30. That's what I would always remember. It was always on late in the morning.
What would Bill Cosby?
Well, you know, Fat Albert. That was his cartoon.
See, that's another thing, too. So not only does Saturday morning and cartoons don't exist, and it isn't because cartoons have become a thing of the past. It's because they're just on 24/7. They've got like 3-4 channels, you know, whether it's, you know, Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
Yeah, you can turn it on right now and there's a cartoon waiting for you.
Yeah, like the kids, they have it made. So we're going to talk about cartoons that you may have remembered, that you remembered enjoying. Some of the ones, it's almost kind of anticlimactic because you kind of look at some of the ones that you know and loved, and you remember them a lot cooler than maybe they appear. We were kind of joking about it coming up the stairs that, you know, the animators, and I'm sure it's all computer related, not anything to do with the talent of the Hanna-Barbera folks of the past.
Right.
But and then we talked about, you know, Aquaman. Like, they didn't give too much time. Some of these characters were in there as kind of
sure
extra.
Bit part, and then they were out of there.
We're Aquaman. So we're gonna kind of remember that. 312-981-7200. You can share your kind of favorite Saturday morning cartoons. We'll talk about them, any kind of superstars from the past on the animated side. You can talk to Dan about it. You can certainly text it into 312-981-7200. And what else from a kid perspective, as we kind of look back not only to 2017 but our childhoods, what were some of our favorite cereals? Because cereals were as big a celebrities as anything, right? You know, when
yeah,
you had
no
the
question about it.
Yeah, like your tricks.
Captain Crunch,
yeah. Right? You brought the military in. Thank you for your service.
That's right.
To breakfast.
Oh, there's so many of them. Boo Berry. I could go right down the list.
Frankenberry. Yeah,
just Count Chocula.
Kind of, I mean, that was like the horror.
Right, the horror
Transylvania
cereals.
Breakfast team. You know, they were. And then you had just the cartoon. And I don't know if the commercials were as memorable as, of course, you know, we were just fixated on anything animated, anything sweet, anything that was really terrible from a health perspective for you.
Yeah, we were all over that.
We were kind of into it. And you had, like, Trix the Rabbit, and then the nefarious, you know, the
Toucan Sam for the Fruit Loops commercial.
Toucan Sam? What are these guys doing now?
Yeah.
You wonder if it's like a support group for
all the cartoon characters hanging
used to
out
be
in the
big
home.
So we're going to do that. So your brushes with greatness on the cereal side, some of the memories. We're going to talk a little bit of the cartoons from Saturday morning. We're going to run through them. And then also it is holiday time and music. I think, you know, a couple weeks ago you were in with me and we talked a little bit about kind of the holiday music, how tough it is to break in and become one of those holiday classics. You know, when you've got so many standards out there. You know, when you're battling going head to head with the Johnny Mathis, it's not easy to make some headway,
right?
Make some ground. We talked about Mariah Carey kind of doing that, and her, you know, she's done it. But on the animal side, you know, people, they say, what do they say? Don't perform with kids and animals. It's tough.
It's not a good idea
because they have an advantage. And we all remember Dominic the donkey, the Christmas donkey. That was a famous song.
Yeah.
We've seen the internet sensations of the cat, you know, that, you know, or the cat Christmas, meow, 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 right? I mean, who could forget the hits?
Yeah.
And Dan has come up with, because I think the other species, a lot of people, they look back, when's our time? You know, when is
when are we gonna get a shot at the title?
Right. You got snails in there saying, like, I know we don't make noise. How do we do this? How do we crack that code? And I guess the goats have cracked. Now, goats goats have been around forever, right?
Absolutely. And the goat, a memorable animal in this town on the baseball side. That's true.
See, look at that.
There's a tie-in right there.
We've got the local tie-in with the sports.
Thanks to Sam Cianis.
The foundational staple of a children's zoo would be a goat because, number one, sizable, right? It's not a gerbil hamster, you know, something small. You can keep them in a pen. They're relatively friendly. You know, they've got an element of danger. They'll bite, eat your hair or something like that. But for the most part, goats are pretty, you know, they're doing the work.
Right? you know what? There's no question that, you know, GOAT standing for the greatest of all time. You know, that's what it is right there, the GOAT.
So we're working with the GOAT lobby. Well, so Dan, talk a little bit about this. So in Sweden, and I know this is a whole world filled with an amazing kind of, you know, tapestry of humanity, and everybody's a little bit different. And in some cultures, you know, goats are revered not only for their ability to kind of hang out and be friends, but also for their singing ability.
Yeah, apparently so. So there's a charity that focuses on world hunger. And one of the things, kind of to your point, it being the greatest of all time, the goat provides several important items like milk and wool to people who live in desert, arid places that they wouldn't necessarily.
That's called the goat giving back.
Yes, the goat never stops giving back. So these guys at this organization called ActionAid recorded goats singing Christmas music.
Oh, fantastic!
Are we going to hear some?
If my computer decides to work, maybe we'll take a break. Why don't we take a break?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to cue up some goat music. We also have, well, for the fans out there looking for some of that cat-related music, and then maybe we'll find some other ways.
Let us know who we are.
Yeah, I mean, they got to think. They've been part of that whole nativity thing since the beginning. Why not get in on the celebration side for the music? So all those things, plus your thoughts, 312-981-7200 on favorite cereals, on your favorite Saturday morning cartoons, all that much more. It's Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. Love it. 720 WGN live here, Allstate Showcase Studio, the upper level one. Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. I do have Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segrew, in the studio. You know, that makes me think of another thing to look back nostalgic. Nostalgically, is that a word? Oh, sorry, Dino. Yeah, it is now. Because it reminds you of the toy. Remember, did you have maybe some toys of the past that are probably very valuable now? Do you know the Stretch Armstrong? Do you remember Stretch Armstrong? Did you ever have a Stretch Armstrong?
Yes, I did. I had a Stretch Armstrong, and try as I might, I, you know, stretched it out and just kept going right back to where it started.
It's a frustrating toy.
That's
what it says on the box in a starburst. Like, yeah,
exactly.
He returns from Stretch. Well, some of the great toys, because that, did you ever have or know someone who had, it was kind of a round thing, had a handle, you could carry it with you, and I guess amaze your friends throughout the neighborhood, but it had a dial, and you could kind of dial up the sound of whatever barnyard animal.
You pull the string.
Yeah, and you can, like a cow says.
I still do that with my niece now.
They still have
those same toys now.
See, what's old?
They just revolutionize them a little bit. Yeah, modernize them.
Any new animals are the same kind of cast
of really.
Characters?
No, it's the same. It's the cow, the pig, you know, the dog. The same ones that maybe they need to have, like, make up any kind of animal you want.
Occasionally, this is a little
giraffe.
Insight to our own insanity. The kids are always looking for different fun games to play in the car. And, you know, Punch Bug just isn't the same, because I just get punched. They just, you know, because you can't punch your kids like you used to. And so they just all punch. Well, you can, Dino? Okay.
No.
Okay, no, of course not. So they just punch me. But one of the things that we do is, are you the, like, you know, dad, name off an animal, and then they take turns trying to imitate that animal more successfully. And some are tragic fails, and some are pretty good, you know, where you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, maybe a younger, you know, baby lamb.
Where you turn out to be like a judge, you know, to see who's got a better, which kid's got the better.
That's what I do. Yeah. I kind of go.
It's like between, a rolling game show like in your car,
like a Randy Jackson. You know, I don't know, Doug. I'll comment on the enthusiasm, and then maybe I'm a Simon Cowell, where I'm a little more critical, negative, and soul crushing.
Your kids are under a lot of pressure when you're rolling along.
Earlier, I had kind of talked to some people about this, and Dan had mentioned the goat related Swedish hit that is screaming up the charts. So, Dan, is it popular, or is this just kind of a novelty? I mean, the Swedish people, we can count on them for so many meatballs, for one. Incredible noodles.
Indeed.
Some wood carvings, maybe some Afghans. Of course, maybe that would be the Afghan people. I'm not sure.
This is one of those charity deals. So, you know, it's one of those things where everybody's a winner. You know, they are getting national attention on this. So it's kind of one of those things where it's kind of like, all right, well, good for you guys. Obviously, it took a lot of work to edit all those goat noises together.
Yeah, right. Well, but now with the auto tune, you know, you probably just have a big. It's got to be so much easier than it was in the past. Before, you know, it was probably, you remember like a Cecil B. DeMille kind of act. We're losing the light, right? Where you're trying to wrangle all the goats.
We're
together.
Losing the goats.
Like, right, Claude. You know, that's a goat name, I guess. It's like
Claude the goat.
More
yeah.
tenor, right? Where now you could easily, with the magic of computer sampling, you can do that pretty well. What do you know? What other animals would you think would lend themselves? Because you know, people hear this. You've got a lot of copycats out there. I'm sure the people of Finland or Norway are thinking, like, what can we do, right?
Yeah, I mean, what the heck? There's, you start with a goat. You get it's pretty you get cow. You get work the cow back into the rotation again.
Cow,
yeah, cow.
The much maligned
yeah,
cow.
The cow just doesn't get enough credit. You throw in a bull in there, you know, and you can mix them all up. All the bigger animals need a shot at the title.
I think too, because there are some cows who, you know, what is it, Mrs. O'Leary with the cow, you know, it's just got a, what is this, how they say in the business, a bad rap, you know, where you burn down a whole
all
city.
All it takes is one bad story, and then they're maligned for the rest of their lives. Right, that's it.
There's only so much that Borden cow with that those sensitive
right,
eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So something in the cow would be good. There's a lot of animals that just don't, just based on llama would be great.
Have sure, you? That's a very underrated animal. I don't really talk about it too much.
So we've got a couple from the cartoon side. Has there ever been a llama-based cartoon that's really done well? I think that would.
Nah, not that I'm aware of. Well, maybe we should start one.
No.
No, we're not.
No. So, okay, so on the, here's some of the things and the ways that we're looking back, certainly the toys of the past, you know, not just 2017, but the toys that you remember from your childhood. If there's any way to take that toy and turn it into a musical hit based on animal noises, I think you're ahead of the game. And then your favorite cartoons. Dan had said some of the favorite cartoons of all time. I think we're going to run through maybe a list of the top favorite cartoons of the past. But, Dino, on a Saturday morning, you would get up and, you know, this is the days of the TV guide, so you had sort of the playbill, right, for the day.
Oh, yeah.
And but what did you get up, what did you look forward to seeing?
I was Looney Tunes was always one of my favorites. I mean, I watch that even now if I get the opportunity, if it happens to be on somewhere. I don't know, there was all kinds of different things on there. We talked about Super Friends off the air, you
Super
know.
Super Friends.
That was one. I'm trying to think. The Laugh Olympics, that was another one that was kind of like the All-Star.
The Laugh Olympics?
Yeah, they had the All-Star comic, you know, the cartoon characters against each other in competition.
Because here's the thing, and 312-981-7200, you can add yours as well. We've got from the 406, Bugs Bunny. There's yeah, your there's classic. An icon. It's like that's like the Johnny Carson of cartoon characters, right? You're very cool, always kind of besting the competition, great sense. Whip smart, I think you would describe him. And
that whole cast of characters there, Marvin the Martian, you had Yosemite Sam, Foghorn Leghorn. I mean, you know, that whole Bugs Bunny cast of characters was great. That was a great hour of cartoons right there every Saturday.
And then we've got from Steve, in my humble opinion, no cartoon captured that can do American spirit of doing as little as possible to produce a product as did Clutch Cargo. Superimposed.
Some yeah, when the words didn't match the mouth, when the lips.
We talked about the ease of, you know, when you just don't feel like animating that hits. Schoolhouse Rock, that's where education got built into it.
That's Speed Racer.
There are so many times throughout school where I kind of brought back, you know, there's a test, I'm thinking Conjunction Junction.
Oh, yeah.
There's not only.
I'm just a bill.
That's my answer.
Yeah.
Let's just go through that. And then on the cereal side, when the 847 Sugar, Sugar Snakes and Frosted Flakes.
I don't remember the Sugar Snakes. I do remember Frosted Flakes.
Samuel L. Jackson, I think, did an endorsement deal for the snakes on a snakes in a bowl. And then Cookie Crisps, you know, that was great too. I think it was where you could ever when you could combine something, you know, unhealthy
pure sugar in a bowl. Surrounded with a little milk, now you got something.
Yeah, what
there.
Would it be now? It'd be like, you know, donut. It would be bacon. Bacon. It's already in the breakfast team photo. All right. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. Your memories as you look back, not just to 2017, but throughout your childhood for your favorite cereal. Cartoons. We're going to run through some of the hits from all time, like the Laugh Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And your favorite cereals, all that kind of stuff. Right now it is news time, though, at 2:30. And here's Vic Vaughn.
Samla familjen och värm er till några av julens mest folkkära sånger. All I want for Christmas is a goat. En julskiva som värmer familjer världen över. Lyssna, sprid julkänslan till dina vänner och ge bort en get från actionaid.se.
Wow. Is that Swedish? Because I, you know, sometimes I, that sounds, that guy was smooth. He was, he must be the, whoever the smooth guy is of Sweden. 720 WGN, in for Nick until 5, Dane in studio. We've got Dino Tiberi, the nephew of Larry from Aurora, to my right, Dan Segru in there. And we're kind of taking a look back, not only to the great animals that have been underappreciated, I think, in the Christmas music side, but also your favorite cartoons of all time. Dino, you had suggested us getting together maybe during the commercial break, feverishly drawing out a storyboard for a llama-based animated series.
An untapped resource.
Or no, alpaca. Was it alpacas?
Alpacas, yes.
You see him kind of getting in there, and Dan, you mentioned for the goats, it's a charity thing where the goats give up milk, they give up wool, they give so much, right, of their time, their efforts, and their energy to make our lives a little bit better. Have you guys seen, when you think about, you know, commercials of the past, I love commercials, and have you seen the alpaca kind of home business commercial? Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen
Dan, have you seen the alpaca commercial?
Yeah, I haven't seen the commercial, but we one night on the overnights, Bill Leff and I talked to a woman who raised alpacas and was kind of selling people on the idea of doing it because of the financial gain.
There is a full-fledged, like, Tony Little gazelle exercise equipment quality infomercial based just upon the alpaca. And now the alpaca, for the uninitiated and maybe uninformed, is kind of, I think it's the smaller, more behaved cousin of the llama. You think of llamas, hey, that's tough, right? Because they spit at you, they're big, they're mean, they bite. All the kind of things you don't want running around the house.
They spit at you and they're mean, yeah.
They bite. They have an amazing aim, much like a camel. But I guess the alpaca is the more friendly version of them. And, you know, kind of like your house cat as opposed to your, you know,
not as
panther. Right. Not that, you know, they're all, I'm sure, kind of wimpy. But anyway, but they had a full-fledged infomercial where they sold it as, you know, over the course, as much as you can in 2.5 minutes, and they sold it as, this is like not only a great investment, but also just, I think, a general quality of life improvement for you and your family, where you welcome the alpaca into your life. Certainly, there are some things that they can't just send to you, even with free shipping and handling, which would be a giant yard.
But wait, there's more. You could get the second one with separate shipping and handling.
And just when you think, right, some freeze-dried alpaca embryos.
Yeah, right.
Until, you know, you want to grow your herd. But no, and so they, I don't know if they kind of, if they closed the entire loop on the business side of it, but they were, it was, you know, what you need is this.
And
you know,
who was
looking for a home-based business?
Who was the one that was out there hawking that product?
Well, I don't remember. I don't know.
Was it a person? Or
well,
was it a celebrity that
I'm
was talking
thinking
about
there
it?
Was a, there was kind of a narrative kind of over.
Oh, but there wasn't
voice.
Someone like standing there talking
it
about
wasn't
it.
Henry Winkler or something. You've heard of me talk about reverse mortgages. Well, how about alpacas?
Yeah, right. Or an ostrich. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, no, it was here, they describe it. Anybody that has seen the commercial, you know, and I know you. Somebody has to seen it, has to have seen it. Besides just me, 312-981-7200 can fill us in, or the My Buddy commercial where it's almost a life size, kind of a doll that you would take along with you if you didn't have a friend or needed one. Wanted to climb a tree, ride a bike, but with the alpacas, they would have you. You, I guess you would. You know, I'm trying to think, because they couldn't ship you the somehow you obtained an alpaca from them, right? And maybe you wrote in for more information. You had a yard, and they described it as this great business, and you could have more than one, and how friendly they are, and how your kids can play with them. So you've got this added, you know, advantage of a built-in animal babysitter.
Babysitter, sure.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah, so, multi-purpose. I never knew that.
Yeah. Well, apparently that would never be in the top 10 commercials of all time, and it must not have been inside some of the Saturday morning conversations as well. But 312-981-7200, if anyone has seen the alpaca infomercial, become an alpaca.
I have to do some digging on YouTube for that one.
Let us know.
I think I might have found the commercial for it.
What does AOBA stand for? AOBA stands for Alpaca Owners and Breeders Association. AOBA stands for over 20 years of commitment to the alpaca livestock industry. And AOBA stands with you. when you decide to start your own alpaca business, whether you're a young family or looking for a phased retirement opportunity. To learn more, visit an AOBA member farmer ranch. To find one near you, call 1-800-213-9522 or go to alpacainfo.com.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And if anyone's had
who knew that? That's some great opportunities there.
See, right? If you're a senior getting ready to retire and you're looking to...
Here's my friend, Alpaca.
And so you want to... Who would... Okay. And in the commercial, of course, to the magic of editing and filmmaking, they make the alpaca seem just, it's like a blast. Like you're just walking into the sunset with your alpaca. You're sharing ice cream cones with your alpaca. But that seems like a lot of work because they're big. And with that comes, you know, you got to feed them and then they're making messes.
Of course.
They get escaping.
All the things that you do with any animal, but probably multiplied by about four.
Call from the neighbor, your alpaca's in my yard again. I mean, you can imagine the situations that, you know, Dan just played this with the theme song. Sounded easy. I don't know that it would be. What was easy as a kid is to get up, you know, you would rise and shine, and you would get up and you would sit in front of the television, you would get ready to watch some cartoons. The 1966 cartoon lineup, this is before my time for watching, but many of our listeners, I'm sure, can remember. And again, 312-981-7200, your favorite cartoons of all time, Saturday morning. And so 9 o'clock, geez, who wouldn't be awake for hours before that? Mighty Heroes cartoons. This series followed the misadventures of Diaper Man.
Diaper Man.
Is that true? Da, da, da. Diaper Man, Rope Man, Strong Man, Tornado Man, and Cuckoo Man. I'm seeing for the ladies out there, not a lot of representation.
A lot of men involved there.
Yeah, this one ran for 1 year back in 1966. And then Underdog.
Oh, that's a classic.
There's no need to
that's
fear.
One of my favorite cartoons.
Yeah, 9:30 Saturday mornings with only 1 year off from 64 to 73. Wally Cox was the voice of Underdog, a.k.a. Meek and Mild Shoeshine Boy.
Simon Bear Sinister Kid, we're going to get that Underdog.
That was like that's your nefarious nemesis, forever saving sweet Polly Purebred from the evil grasp of, yes, the one and only Simon Bear
Sinister. That's right.
Then 10 o'clock, The Impossibles. With Frankenstein Jr., it was a big flying robotic behemoth with a sidekick kid, and the show featured separate adventures of the Impossibles, a rock group that could turn into superhero government agents.
I think they ought to bring that back today. I think that concept still works.
Yeah, that reminds me of that one famous picture of Elvis with President Nixon.
That's right, man. I don't have to stop in and say hello to Tricky Dick Nixon.
Hold on, I'm going to turn into superstar government agent.
Thanks a lot, Elvis. Thanks for stopping by.
Hold my belt buckle. My cane. I mean, my scepter. Remember, he had that. Then 10:30, Space Ghost. I mean, I even remember Space Ghost.
Vaguely.
Space Ghost. He was a guy. He rode around in like a roller coaster in space. You know, it was suspension of disbelief because you didn't think to yourself, how can he breathe and carry on conversations with other people while he's just riding around in that was the great Space Coaster. Never mind. Anyways.
A lot of acid being dropped back then, creating those shows, I would imagine.
Space Ghost and his pals Jan and Jace fight evil aliens, and we're going to get to that. I know that there's been some aliens.
Some alien discussion.
Of the friendly and maybe not so evil variety, but certainly there, happening recently. They fight them in outer space, which is where you want to fight them. Take the war to them and the help with the SG's invisibility. That's Space Ghost, invisibility belt, and power energy beams from his wristbands.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to have superpowers.
Superpower wristbands.
And then 11 o'clock, you had the New Adventures of Superman, starring the Man of Steel, MOS. Right? Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Perry White. It was Perry White. Was he the editor of the Daily Planet?
He was.
He's always kind of flying off the handle.
Yeah, that's right. Can't get in here.
That's like the genre of the angry boss.
Right.
Yeah. Not that, I mean, they're out there. You know that. Jason Beck was the program narrator. And then Superboy, Superman as a boy, was featured in separate adventures. And, you know, because they've done that whole thing. They've done
Supergirl.
Like,
they've gone through the gamut.
Superboy. Sure. They haven't done Super Senior Citizen yet. with Larry.
SSC, yeah.
Larry King can do the prostate thing. Lone Ranger, 11:30. Now, this was low-budget production with watercolor backgrounds and moody themes, and the Lone Ranger would battle Wild Wild West-style villains like Dr. Destructo. What do you think? Did you like do you remember any of the... This weren't necessarily cartoons, but they were things that I think appealed to kids. Is some of those series, like... I remember Lone Ranger with the
Jay
Silverheels.
Yeah, my dad and I still watch that now. It's on, like, I think MeTV or one of those channels has it on Sundays, they show them. So he watches it all the time. So when I'm with him... course, by default, I'm watching it with them. And him and Tonto.
Wasn't that like Tonto? They would go around and somehow they always.
Always prevailed in the end. They always got the job done. Just it was like watching an episode of the Brady Bunch. You know, I mean, you know, everything was good at the end.
But you never got a chance to thank him.
It was always, exactly. He was gone.
Always left you wanting.
Who was that masked man?
I never got a right. It's
never got a chance to thank him. That's because he got his business done and got out of there.
That's right. He didn't have time to hang around. There was a lot of things to worry about. You know, and they always had that catchphrase too, kind of like the meddling kids. We'll get into Scooby-Doo a little bit later on in the program as well. Plus aliens. We brought up Dino before we go to the break. Have you ever? Because I think that would make me a believer. Granted, this was some serious regular news, you know, where you saw military people, they released a video.
Yeah, how old was the video again? I forget. I haven't heard them talk about it.
It's just been declassified.
Right, it's just been declassified. It was within the last 10, 15 years.
Ah, okay.
I mean, I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know if that makes me discount it anymore. It seems like pretty mainstream.
Yeah, I was just wondering why they held off so long before revealing it to the public.
Top secret.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
I'm not sure exactly how that goes. We're going to talk a little bit of aliens. We are going to go back and forth in 312-981-7200. As you remember your favorite breakfast cereals, as you remember your favorite cartoons of all time, we'll get into some more recent ones as well. Quick break here. It's Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. Okay. 720 WGN, Allstate Showcase Studio, 7th floor, high atop, well, high sort of in the middle of Tribune Tower. Daniel in for Nick DiGilio till 5 a.m. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth. And that is, I think, when it comes to celebration, when it comes to animals, when it comes to the holidays, musically, I think they've hit it with this, along with some high notes, some very high goat-related notes.
There's some noises in there I never heard of.
The Swedish people, for a good cause, you know, raising awareness and funds, they've outdone themselves with this goat-related Christmas album. And Dan, do you have any kind of background on how the thing was made? Because, you know, I don't want to say I spent a lot of time with goats, but, you know, I've been to the Children's Zoo a number of times, you know, where you crank out some food and, you know, and,
sure.
You know, and I've spent some of my formative years, you know, in Wisconsin. And, you know, I'm just saying, I've never heard goats like scream like that. Is there the making of where any goats harmed?
Unfortunately, apparently it's an industry secret because I'm not finding anything online about the production capabilities.
Tasing the goat to have them make a noise we haven't heard of before.
I did not consider that, but that sounds like what it would take to make them make those noises. Because you couldn't just. You know, you couldn't just say, like, okay, get it together now, guys.
Yeah,
you know,
let's pick it up in the back.
I mean, you'd have to incite some sort of goat riot or something to get them to scream like that.
Yeah, what do you take away from a goat to get them ticked off?
I don't think there's anything.
Kind of
they seem sort of kind of even.
Don't let
keel.
Them graze on any grass? What? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I wonder how they put that together. That's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot. But it sounds like they're just all yelling and screaming and crying.
Different than people, Dan. No different.
All in service of making it takes. You got to break some eggs, right? You want to make a cake. You want to make a holiday album filled with goat noises. You're gonna have to tase them.
I'd have to adapt that as my alarm clock wake up call.
Right?
Can you imagine that if you had that going on?
Dan, your thoughts? I mean, it's kind of strangely hypnotic. Like
I mean, it is.
You keep using it as the bumper because you like. I mean,
I can't stop.
The 400,000 people living in Sweden right now can't all be wrong. I mean, it's a small country, and they love their goats, but I think they're onto something. Just as the 1976 cartoon lineup folks were over at CBS.
I can't wait to hear some of these gems.
So, Sylvester and Tweety, you know, one of the, you know, think about the comedy duos throughout history. Sylvester and Tweety, they were one, you know, they're always competing, always looking to thwart and then also eat each other, right? And so these guys were
that's
hit.
Right. You have to watch out for those birds.
And so you've got, but that seems to be the dynamic. And back then it was okay to have like the premise based on trying to eat each other, and that seemed to be the whole thing. Tom and Jerry, were they trying to eat? I guess
he was, right? He was trying to get them.
Kill each other, for sure. Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, we talked about Bugs Bunny. You knew him in a bunch of different ways, but one of his most famous interactions was with the Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner would be consistently trying to capture, kill, destroy.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote tried to get him every time. dropping the Acme anvil on them or whatever other.
A lot of dynamite going on.
Absolutely. A lot of bad outcomes for Wile E. Coyote.
For your rabbit fans and fans of Bugs Bunny, and who wouldn't be, not oftentimes, 100% of the time, you know, the Roadrunner did not succeed. Oftentimes, right. He only succeeded in killing himself. But, of course, in the next commercial break, he was
right back.
He was right back.
He had more lives than a cat.
So then we had Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. This is an interesting hit. Think about this. So Johnny Weissmuller, you've heard of Johnny Weissmuller.
Oh, sure. Right? The Olympic champion.
Also
Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan. So right. He was like the physical Tarzan. And my grandmother was a nanny, like a Hollywood nanny back in the day, you know, where the studios would employ people to watch the kids of the stars, you know, because they had them employed to go out and.
Sure, they had to go to work.
Yeah, it was old Hollywood. So they kind of ran all that. So probably did their laundry, probably did everything for them. And so my grandmother on my mom's side was a nanny. So she lived with Johnny Weissmuller and William Holden and also Ronald Reagan back when he was married to Jane Wyman.
Well, I need some of my laundry done.
She didn't necessarily. She was a nurse, and so she took care of the kids. I just mentioned the laundry as kind of they just handled things, you know, the studio.
Sure, everything needed to be done at home. The nannies were the glue to those families because they were there all the time.
I feel like you're right. Now, so here's the other thing. I don't know if when it comes to, you know, cartoons. Has there been a Star Wars cartoon, do you know, that you're aware of?
I think they tried to do one once, if I remember right, but I can't be sure because, you know me, I'm not the Star Wars expert.
That's true. That is true.
You're asking probably the wrong guy on that one.
Well, but I didn't know if they made one, you know, back.
I want to say they did, but okay. And Blake will, you know, Stubbs will know. We talked to him, and he's all things knowing about Star Wars.
So. Anything really movie related.
Yeah, exactly.
So Blake Stubbs is going to be on with us as soon as we get back from the news here. We're talking about it, and Star Wars fans know this. They don't need anybody telling them that there's a brand new Star Wars movie out, and so a lot of people were lined up this week, or maybe it was like early part of last week when it first came out, some of the previews there. I know that my son Maxwell got a chance to go. He went twice in one day. He went to the 6 o'clock show and the 9 o'clock show. Apparently, it's a very long movie. It's like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Dan, is that like this Star Wars is exceptionally long? You think they'd break it up and make it into two?
Well, yeah, you know, and I had heard it's on the longer end of all of them, and obviously they're banking on it being part of the trilogy because they're already filming that next one. So you'd imagine that, I don't know if this is the bridge and they were trying to get in so much now to set up a shorter one later, or if it's part of a new trend, because from what some of the reviews we had on recently, you know, they sent, like, basically every person has their own storyline, you know. Each person gets, like, 5 or 6 minutes doing their thing, and when you start adding that all up, it, you know.
Yeah, I guess that would get you 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so plenty of it. So a lot of people, you know, in on that, and that's the kind of, I mean, you are printing money when you can come up with that, right? Where you just,
yep.
Why stop? You know,
yeah,
why
there's
just,
no reason to. That, I mean, that's a... All you have to do is mention the word Star Wars and you're going to get it. You know, it's going to be a box office smash. So
a little bit later on in the program, after we talk to Blake for a while, what could be, and it'll be in quite a while, as people kind of share their thoughts, and you can too, 312-981-7200. If you've seen the movie, if you have your thoughts on the movie, kind of your review, you can share those with Dan. You can call in and we'll talk to you. You can also text them in as well. So we'll kind of share that. But as later on in the show, we've had this kind of alien interaction, and you wonder if aliens, when we really finally get to meet them, and we're not just, you know, watching them on 10-year-old recently released top secret video, is I think there's going to be like a Darth Vader, like some kind of, you know,
super
evil
supreme being,
galactic bad guy that's going to come. We've got a battle.
There could be. Hey, you know, you can't discount any of that stuff. You know, there could be that Darth character that comes in and tries to take control of everything, and he's the bad guy, and we need to eradicate him and get him out of here. But who knows? Maybe they'll all just be friendly people or friendly aliens.
I doubt it. But if it goes with anything along the lines of the cartoons that we've known and enjoyed, there's always a good guy and a bad guy. Everyone's trying to kill each other, and in the end, hopefully, like Tom and Jerry, they're all friends. And when it comes to like good guys and bad guys, who was it? Was it Johnny Weissmuller was Tarzan? Who was his sidekick, his trusted friend, who was a chimpanzee? What was his name?
Do you
remember that?
Geez. Cheetah.
It was Cheetah. That's right. So, Linda, welcome to WGN. You've got some thoughts on the Olympic
Linda's
champion.
Linda's got it down.
Yeah, Cheetah. That was it. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you mentioned Johnny Weissmuller and that. And when I was younger, much younger, I belonged to South Chicago Y, and I was on the swim team, and we would go and compete against Hyde Park YMCA, which is no longer there now. The stuff rebuilt there. I think it's a strip mall. But they had pictures of Johnny Weissmuller up there who swam at the Hyde Park Y, and from what I understood, that's where he first started learning to swim.
Yeah, so a lot of Chicago connections there. But think about this, and Linda, wasn't it true? I mean, he was in Tarzan, but also an Olympic champion. He was one of the biggest stars of the time.
Oh, yeah. And I remember how when I was younger, my aunts and them would talk about him just being in, like, his loincloth, swinging through the trees. They got him, and he wasn't even all dressed. I wonder what they think of our movies now.
I have yeah. No idea. Well, they didn't have special
effects.
That'd
be pretty mild now compared to what they're letting go on the air these days.
We come back from the news, we're going to talk with Blake. But, Linda, you're right, and thanks for calling. But yeah, they didn't have special effects back then, so Johnny Weissmuller had to really swing through the trees.
He had to sell that loincloth.
And keep up his physique.
And he certainly did, right? There's no retouching there. All right. Thanks, Linda. Appreciate it. Sure. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, you know, Darth Vader, you know, he's got a costume on. Johnny Weissmuller, he had to do it.
He had to do it all natural,
that's
except
right.
for the loincloth.
Yeah, the makeup guy would come back, and then he'd be like, I got nothing.
Look,
it was
I'm
like
ready.
Fonzie with the hair. It's already perfect. Cheetah looked good, too. All right. Right now it is 3 o'clock. Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. One of the greatest scores of all time. You know, when you think about iconic music, movie related or other, that's one, maybe Rocky, right? But then that one, Star Wars, put your hands together, your tentacles, your flippers, whatever you've got, put them together for the one and only blockbuster Blake Stubbs as he is in his element, just reveling. It's great to talk movies at all times with Blake, but it's even more special every 3.5 months when there's a brand new Star Wars movie out. Blake is on the line. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me. I'm a Star Wars lifer. I
no,
can't get away from
not
it.
You.
So big time. It's you know what? It's kind of sad, really. No, I'm kidding. It's not. It's a great time. To be honest, I was very amped for this film. I'm all about the excitement. I love seeing smiling faces and the cosplayers and, you know, kids' faces lighting up, you know, parents who are taking their kids, their faces lighting up. Star Wars is, and it's a big part of probably what I'm going to end up talking about tonight, or this morning, I should say. Star Wars is a deeply personal element of Americana. And I think that, you know, as far as movies go, this is a multi-generational entity. And now more than ever, there's a lot of talk about Star Wars.
You know,
at least it's, even since The Force Awakens came out, this one's being talked about a lot more, I think.
Well Blake, you know, whenever you can get those things, those kind of touchstones in society where you can get generations to come together and agree, and whether it's a New Kids on the Block concert, right? You know, maybe you would be there with...
Oh yeah, I'm right there. Count me in.
But or Star Wars, and you think about the sad stuff, bittersweet, sad. It isn't sad, Blake. You know, you can always knit, stitch, buy another Ewoks costume. So don't be sad when you've outgrown the one that you've known and loved for so long. But it's the kind of thing where here's the thing that they've done, which is because it's tough, right? How many movies can you make and still have them be kind of fresh, interesting, exciting? And this is one of the most critical. This is one of the toughest audiences in all of movie making, right? So people out there, they need to have a standard set. But because they've really now kind of branched it off and have the artistic license to go in almost any direction, they're keeping the fans happy. I think people seem to be excited about this one.
They're excited, yes. I would say now we're approaching, you know, we're basically a week on from its release because it was opening last Thursday. And I think to say that people are excited, very much so. We're still having a lot of people maybe get out to experience the first time. And I want to be very clear. I do not want to spoil anything about this film. I want to make sure that, you know, I have thoughts, I have opinions, I have the fan reaction, I have a critical reaction, I've got a little bit of everything bumping around in my head. But at the same time, I want people to have a genuine first go and see this and draw their own conclusion. Because again, Star Wars is so personal. And I think that it's one of those things where, you know, whether you were introduced to this when you were a young kid like I was, and I was introduced to it, you know, I was born in 85. So the youngest that I can visibly remember, you know, being interested in Star Wars was in that like 4 to 5 year old range where, you know, they were showing it every year on Christmas, or my dad had it on VHS and I watched it there. But my dad was one who saw it in theaters. And so, you know, he shared that with me at a very young age. And I know a lot of people who have done that with their kids, especially, you know, some of my contemporaries where now that they've started families and Star Wars is one of the first things that they want to show their children. So people are growing up with this at different eras, too. And then, you know, there's the prequel films. You know, there's a whole generation of people who that's what really got them interested in it. So they saw it in a completely different way than the previous generations did before them. And so the excitement for a Star Wars film, the fact that it could be so high still at episode 8, and technically, you know, we had Rogue One come out last year, and there was a lot of excitement for that film as well. I think it's a wonderful testament to the fact that, one, these characters, this universe, it's so easy to graft onto and find a connection in. But at the same time, you know, Disney's handling of it, which when they first purchased Lucasfilm was a big, oh no, what's going to happen to Star Wars? I think that they have managed to do a fine job of keeping this visually interesting for modern audiences. And at the same time, in many ways, pushing stories in different directions, be it forward or, I wouldn't say lateral, but at the same time, in new avenues and new ways of telling a Star Wars story, much like they did with something like Rogue One. I'm all over the place because, again, I'm really high on Star Wars because I love it. But at the same time, we've got a very big new entity into this saga. And people are, however, divisive about it.
Well,
there are some serious negative opinions.
Well, I think the excitement that you have bottled, right? You've brewed and you have an endless supply of in the refrigerator at Blake Stubbs Central. Like you've got it there. You've been drinking the Kool-Aid since day one. I mean, I remember the excitement being in, you know, in line at let's say a Zayre's, right, looking to get my Luke Skywalker action figure, which had just been released. Now, Dino, what you've got something too, right?
Well, I saw the original one in the theater, and it was you know, something that you never experienced before when that movie was in the theater. The special effects and the music and everything, and all wrapped together, was fantastic. Now, I didn't, you know, buy into the Kool-Aid, you know, after that. I only saw the first one. I never saw anyone after that. But I still remember that feeling watching
it. How can you top this?
Being amazed at what was going on the screen, because it was absolutely something I had never seen before. And I was only, you know, I was a teenager at the time when that came out. So
Blake, Dino mentioned, you know, the first one, and he, of course, he wants to maintain. He's a purist, right? He wants to maintain that. He's like, how can I top this? I don't even want to try. I'm gonna abstain from Star Wars for the future. But one of the things that they've done is, and which I think has been great, at the times when they've kind of strayed into a completely different storyline, they still have all those connections to the beginning. So even the first time that Dino saw it, you're going to see characters that he knew and enjoyed way back. You know, Luke Skywalker's front and center in this one, too.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Force Awakens, and I will talk about the Force Awakens just because it is a launch pad right into this film. The Force Awakens, you know, ends with this unveiling that Luke Skywalker has been found. And so coming into this film, the big questions were always going to be, what's up with Luke? Where has Luke been? What is Luke's story? I will say that you get Luke's story. I don't want to tell people what that is, but yes, the familiar faces, Carrie Fisher as Leia Organa, Princess Leia, now General Leia, leading the resistance. She's very much front and center in this as well. And then you have new characters that are branched out, or a new generation, so to speak, that are sort of the tip of the spear in a lot of ways, because what they're trying to do is put forward momentum in The Last Jedi on the overall saga's story. And, you know, some arcs are going to be, you know, held within this film, but others are sort of built up to continue on into the next one. And so at the same time, like, you have that interwoven, those big connections between films, between, you know, different sort of side stories could be told from this. In fact, to really just give you a sense, like, I feel that this film is a solid entry in the saga. I think that it is a very risk-taking entry into the saga. I think that it is also one that, in the end, I hope pays off in where they're going to go with episode 9, but right now it is very much too early to tell because we're still in the throes of the release of this one. But at the same time, like, that's what you're hoping as a Star Wars fan, that this keeps going and it keeps moving forward. And then, you know, maybe if this wraps up at episode 9, you know, there was a big announcement that Rian Johnson, who was the writer director of The Last Jedi, episode 8 here, that we're consuming right now at a very rapid pace, is going to be tackling his own trilogy of Star Wars stories. And they have not said what those are going to be, but they've said Disney's confidence in this young man has been, you know, pretty much resounding, that it's going to be, hey, this guy gets to go off and do more Star Wars. And I am in the camp of fans who is very happy about that. I know that there are some others that are not entirely happy about that. But again, I think it's so fresh, the discourse about where this film lies in the saga, where one would rank it, how one is reacting to what happens in this one. As personal as it all is, I think people are still unraveling and unwinding and processing what they've seen, which is funny because, again, this is a Star Wars film. This is not Citizen Kane. This is not Seven Samurai. This is Star Wars, but this is something that people really take to heart and they've fallen in love with for over 40 years.
Well, like you mentioned it, right? It's become such a big part of, you know, for fans of films, it has become such a big part of a lot of people's entertainment lives, right? And they keep coming up with new and different things, and I think that's a testament to it. Also, one of the things that you're going to see, especially if it's been handled well by Disney, is that they're not going to stop. If Disney was going to stop trying to make, you know, create entertainment, create, you know, movies and, you know, and different opportunities to go ahead and entertain people and make some money, you know, along that way, they would have stopped at Bambi, right? But they keep going and doing some things. And so I think that the testament is that people are excited about the direction it's going. But, right, you have these new characters. We're going to talk about them after the break and letting the listeners know, talking with our good friend, the one and only Blockbuster, Blake Stubbs, about the new Star Wars movie. We're going to talk about some of these characters. People get excited about Luke Skywalker being in it, Han Solo when he came back, Harrison Ford, and we're going to talk about some of these new characters that are kind of forging the way. They're kind of leading the way for Halloween costumes and merchandising and all that kind of stuff. Are they going to be the kind of characters that will last, you know, in 40 years from now? Are we going to be excited about them coming back and being in part of some of the future in a galaxy far, far away movie? So stay tuned for that. We're going to be back with Blake in just a second. Quick break here. It's Dane in for Nick on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Nick DeGilio until 5 a.m. today. Allstate Showcase Studio high atop the middle of the kind of central region of Tribune Tower. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth on the line with us. We do have Blockbuster Blake Stubbs. He is kind of cracking the case of Star Wars, its popularity, some of the characters out there, the phenomenon, without giving away too much, of course, as he talks about it. Blake, you hear the music, and the music is such a big part of what it is. And I know there's been some stories about aliens in the news, and we're certainly, before we let you go, going to get your thoughts. And if you've got a kind of eyewitness testimony, if you've been abducted or probed, we certainly would want to hear from you about that. But, you know, any thought to, I mean, that music, you think about nefarious, you know, galactic bad guys, they need a great theme song, and that's it right there.
It definitely is. How many marching bands around the country have you heard revel in playing that song at halftime games, or as part of their, you know, marching routine, or just part of the, you know, in the middle of a game? It's something that permeates throughout, not just, you know, pop culture and discussions about pop culture, and whenever you can use it in a soundtrack, you will. But, you know, the Imperial March is just one of those songs that the moment you hear the first couple of notes, you know, or first couple of chords, you know exactly what it is. And John Williams, you know, wrote most of the greatest bits of iconic film music anyone's ever heard. You ask anybody and he will be on the, you know, the top three list of composers that they can list. And this is any moviegoer.
Yeah.
They could probably name John Williams. But what I found so interesting was that, you know, he's been involved in every one of the scores for the Star Wars films. And this time around, the recording of the main titles, so the opening track that you hear when the credits roll and Star Wars hits the screen, you know, knowing, getting that confirmed by, because I've been surfing the Twitter and, you know, trying to read all the comments from the stars and the director, writer, Ryan Johnson. That was a brand new recording of that old theme, that classic theme that everybody knows and loves. And it still sounds just as powerful now as it did back in 77.
Oh.
So it's one of those things where like the music, you know, just evokes a response on a personal level from audience members.
You know, Dan plays it, you know, it's the bumper coming out. We got a song that's coming out. You know, we just did a MyPillow, ad. Everyone knows MyPillows. It's the most restful sleep that you can get. And so you're kind of consumed by thinking about, well, geez, that sounds really nice. And then you hear that music and it's like, it is, it's fresh. It's powerful. Dino, like, you've got something.
Yeah, for our warm up, for the introductions of the starting lineups for one of the high schools I announced for, that's the one for the opponents. When I announce the opponent's starting lineup, that's the backdrop music. Is that
it's almost too good to give them? You got to give them something more.
No, but it's evil. So it's the opponent. It's the enemy.
It's okay. So Blake, we've talked before we went to break. We kind of talked about some of those iconic characters that have been a part of mm-hmm. Star Wars, still just as big of stars, you know, in kind of the galactic universe of the current movies as maybe they were in those past ones. And so do we have some new heroes, some new stars now that you think have that kind of staying power? You've kind of intimated that there's going to be some spinoffs, right, where some of these people are going to have to be big enough stars, fleshed out enough characters, popular enough to kind of carry their own sort of wing of the franchise.
Well, right now we know that the key characters introduced in The Force Awakens, the big three to me were Daisy Ridley's Rey, Kylo Ren, played by Adam Driver, and then John Boyega's Finn. Now, those three are all in this film. They all have a big part to play in some way, shape, or form. Some that I've mentioned in that big three more than others, at least in this particular film. But you've also got, you know, Oscar Isaac playing a character named Poe Dameron, who's a hotshot X-Wing pilot. And, he's every bit as top gun as anybody could be. And in this film, he gets more to do. He felt like such a big, you know, splash character from the beginning of The Force Awakens, and there wasn't really a whole lot else for him to do other than do a little bit of flying at the end of the film. In this film, he's very much involved, not just from a cockpit standpoint, but also, interacting within the military rankings and planning or trying to be involved in it and things like that. And then as far as brand new characters in this film, the big two that I would bring up are Laura Dern's, or well, there's actually three. Laura Dern's Vice Admiral Holdo, who I really don't want to say anything more about. I want fans to experience her right off. Fresh.
How great is that for Laura Dern? I mean, it's for some people. Oh. Some of these are like young, for some of the younger actors that you'd mentioned, they're, you know, getting in, yes, and doing some of these characters. They're going to be identified with them, and it's going to be a blessing for their career forever. And some of them, like Laura Dern, this is a really, really pleasant surprise for her and her fans.
It is, and a good one, I think, too, because the big thing is that, you know, when you write characters, and again, you know how I said a little bit earlier, like, remember, this is Star Wars. This isn't Citizen Kane. This isn't Seventh Samurai. When I say that, I don't want people to think that these films are lacking in good performances by great actors, okay? Laura Dern is a great actress. She has been nominated for, I think, two Academy Awards. She's been praised for her work with David Lynch. She's been, you know, she's one of the key elements of Jurassic Park, which was a big film for me growing up. But her talents are like everything in blockbusters, everything in independent cinema. She's just all over the board in terms of being a class act. And to step into the Star Wars universe and bring those talents to the table, I think, It's a very welcome change. I wouldn't necessarily say that I want to go deeper about what her character does, because, again, I want people to be like, wait, Laura Dern's in this? Like, I actually want audiences to maybe have that experience, because she's a treat. That's about all I'm going to say. But then there's another actor much like her that is in this film for playing a character named DJ, and that's Benicio Del Toro.
Oh.
And this is an Academy Award winner who, you know, has played character roles. He's played leading roles. The last main thing that I saw him in where he just floored me was Sicario. which was up for Oscars, and his role in that was just, you know, he can be haunting, he can be funny, he can be just everything you want out of an actor. So, you know, bringing big talents to the table like that is huge for, you know, the biggest, you know, franchise right now that we're talking about. And then lastly, there is an up-and-comer. Kelly Marie Tran plays a character named Rose Tycho, who I think is a very, like, my take on Kelly Marie Tran and being in this film is very positive. I'm all about, you know, getting new blood in a film and new energy. And believe me, she brings all of the new energy that one would want. And I think that there is a lot to be said for her, and I hope that we get plenty more of her as this goes on. So as the Star Wars phenomenon continues, is what I mean.
You know what? And as excited as you are about it, and the very last thing in the last like 30 seconds or so, of course you recommend it, and it's great at a bunch of different levels, and I think the film watching community agrees with you. Where, because I know for my son, he saw it in one of those Dolby IMAX theaters where like the you know, the seats move and everything kind of there. Do you have any kind of recommendations if, you know, like where people should see it, or if they should kind of focus on places, I guess, that have really great sound, or if it's more of the picture thing, or just try to do it in the best thing you have access to?
I would definitely say this is one of the few films every year, you know, types of films, I should say, every year that you should find the biggest screen with the best sound. Do a little bit of homework. Some towns have, or some cities have, multiple multiplexes that they can choose from. And one of those will likely have, you know, like for me, AMC River East right now, and I'm not trying to just plug a theater here or there, but if you're in the Chicagoland area and you want to know a good place to go, I believe they have what's called the Big Dolby Theater, the Big D, whatever it may be. That's where I would spend the extra money, and I would go see this on the biggest screen with the best sound possible, because I think that that's how it's been intended to be shown. And if that's the case, then that's the effort that we should make. And here's the other thing too, and I know that we're, you know, running to the end of this, but as divisive as this film is, know that if you don't enjoy this as much as your friend does, that's okay. Have a dialogue about it. Because I've seen a lot of people, and if you start digging into the internet, there's a lot of negativity. And I want people to know that negativity should not be present in discussing things like Star Wars. We can enjoy it, and we cannot enjoy it, but we can still find common ground and discuss
Look
it.
Look at that.
I've seen friendships torn apart over this.
No!
I don't want that to happen for anybody. And I'm not lying. This has been very – it's that personal for people.
Extend the galactic – olive branch, come together, communicate about it.
We
right
are the world.
We're the universe.
We are the universe. That's correct.
All right. So Blake, as you talk about communicating, people want to do that with you. Give out the social media before we let you go.
Yes. Find me on Twitter at Blake Stubbs. And yes, please, let's talk about Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks, Blake. We'll talk to you soon. Go get some sleep and then get out there and see the movie again tomorrow. We'll talk to you soon.
Will do. Have a great one, guys.
720 WGN Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today, high atop, well, sort of in the middle of Tribune Tower here. And Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru. You know him, you love him from all your favorite Nick DiGilio hits and shows. He is here with us as well as a presence from the universe, right? The aliens are with us. I think we've come to the terms that not only are they going to be gracing our cartoons and also our big screens as far as movies, we've got a fascination with aliens, but I think we've got real proof now that aliens exist. You saw the video that happened where they released a top secret video from a fighter pilot who, and I guess this is not a unique video. It's the kind of thing that happens on a pretty regular basis. Those pilots are oftentimes sworn to secrecy or it's top secret, but they released a video where I guess occasionally through just the things that they're doing, they're running into these unidentified flying objects, which really based on things that are possible as far as, you know, aircraft to do, they just don't fit into it. There's nothing that they can think of that that can do the kinds of things that they're seeing in front of them and recording on those videos. Now, Dino, did you get a chance to see that video? And then, of course, they had a little bit of the audio where the people were describing it. It wasn't as though they seemed like they knew what it was. It was like, that's a Soviet this, you know, or that's a, I know it was from the past, but.
Yeah, I did not get a chance to see it, unfortunately. I've heard a lot about it. A lot of things have been discussed about it. I'm curious to see what it looks like and what the sound is and, you know, how all that plays out. And I find it fascinating that, you know, they've been holding on to this for, you know, that a long period of time for, you know, as classified information. And, you know, I just wonder what triggered this, it to be released now. as opposed to waiting longer or, you know, releasing it sooner than now, you know, what made that decision to make it public now as opposed to waiting or doing it earlier?
I think there's always kind of groups that are trying to have some of the stuff declassified. Yeah, and I think some of it may just be, you know, time limits, like, you know, after a certain amount of years, if there isn't anything that's making it, you know, the danger to society or the government or something like that, that it's available.
It's a safe period. Yeah, now it's safe. We can let it go. All right, go ahead. Here's the UFO.
Well, I got a chance to see it. And Dan, did you see the video where it's, you know, it's a handful of seconds, maybe it's like 20, 30 seconds. It looks as though there's a pilot seeing something. They, through the process of some of the media coverage that I've seen, they kind of identify what you're seeing on the screen. And then it's basically the pilot kind of just describing what it is or kind of interacting with other pilots.
You know, I didn't, but, you know, kind of to your point, though, Ian, the fact that there's video of it, you know, a lot of the things with the past, you know, I think with, you know, the Roswell thing and, you know, kind of similar stories in the past, there was no videos. Now it's, everybody's got a video camera in their pocket. So that'll be one of the interesting things where everything's going to be chronicled. So if it indeed is out there, we're going to find it sooner rather than later just for that reason alone.
So when I have that picture of the alien having dinner with me, I'll be able to snap that off and send it out on the internet.
What does the alien eat? Is he a steak guy? Is he a fish guy?
Yeah, he's a steak guy. You know, he's got to eat meat. He can't, you know.
I think it's Gino's pizza rolls.
That's right. That's definitely a snack of choice.
That's why they've come here. That's what, you know, we all remember
that. We've traveled billions of miles
to get those
pizza rolls.
That's right.
When there's 11 herbs and spices out there, you can have all the technology in the world, but if you don't have that exact flavor, you know, you're going to need to pony up for it. We all remember what was it, Manhattan, you know, where it's whatever you don't have, right? Didn't some group of unscrupulous settlers, you know, trade like a bucket of beads and baubles for Manhattan to the, you know, the indigenous population? And that was next. See, this is what's going to happen. So they're traveling through the universe
to get we're going to trade pizza rolls for their peace.
No, pizza rolls for maybe some technology and some other things.
Sure.
I think this just shows kind of maybe just the inundation of so much input, whether it's, you know, media, whether it's stories, because this has all the trappings of something that is legitimate. You know, this is something that these pilots really
see. Video evidence of it.
There's no real way to explain it. But because of everything that's going on, we're just so jaded and cynical that we're like, it's not a big
next. Right? When's the next one going to come out?
It wasn't even as though it was
like it was a big deal anymore.
Yeah, and with all those, we've all seen the documentaries. You know, Area 51. You know, the
Bigfoot.
Why just go Bigfoot? Bigfoot is this is a local guy. Bigfoot's Johnny Weissmuller.
Sure, he's a guy. I think he's an animal. But anyway,
well, I mean,
I digress. I'm sorry. Off the subject.
Bigfoot, Yeti. These are locals. The alien situation. This is from, you know, a galaxy
far away.
Yeah, and so they're, you know, coming in here and what is it that they want? Do you know? Oftentimes you think that they're gonna hear, you know, they're here to enslave us, to either take movies usually have a premise, you know, much like the cartoons where they're trying to kill or eat each other. The movies with the aliens, they've come here. What are the things they normally want? You tell me.
Well, I think it's just, you know, they want to be able to interact with humans.
That's not what they want. They
want power.
They want to enslave us and use us as a galactic workforce, or they want to take our planet and steal all the natural resources
and take it away.
Right. They've just decided that we're kind of just a negative force in the universe.
That we're useless and they want to just take over.
Yeah, they don't want to hang out. If they did, they'd be hanging out. Don't you think? Or no?
I think you're right about that. Yeah, you never know. Could be. You could have an alien pal. You don't even know it.
Here's the other thing is they want to study. If they just showed up, we would easily maybe give up some of our... Or there would be... Think about this. When you've got serial killers in prison and you have ladies lined up to marry them, right? Writing them letters. And you know that if the aliens come by and said, like, you know, we'd like to any volunteers to get probed or, you know, or to have experiments done on them, you want to line up.
They'd line up around the corner
for
that.
There would be a lot of people that would say, you know.
Sure, why not?
Mom,
what else I got to do?
This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know I'm a big sci-fi fan. To actually be probed, you know, or have an experiment done would be really exciting. You know, who gets to do that? You know, people would do that. Dan, do you think, don't you think, right, that if you put it out there, it takes a village, you know, that there'd be a certain amount of the population that would sign up for this. Hey,
oh,
I'm,
I mean, look at those people who are volunteering to go to Mars, knowing that they're never going to. Yeah, they're going to die on Mars
if they're lucky,
right?
If they even get there,
right? And so you know,
Mars
it's one
is
of those,
far, by the way.
Yeah, you know,
it's just in.
I knew a guy who believed he had encounters with aliens.
Wait a minute. Okay, so you're almost, you know, credible adjacent, right?
Cause right.
Like, it's one thing if Dan said to me, you know, Dan, I got to tell you. Then I'm a believer. I'm in. I'm up in the trust tree with you. We're building a fort. We're doing it. But, you know, when it's just a guy on TV or a random celebrity, and after the break, we're going to get to the celebrities who claim.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a good list.
Right.
Can't wait to hear some of these gems.
So if Chuck Woolery can talk you into a reverse mortgage because you trust him.
Sure.
You know, can some of these celebrities talk you into believing that there's aliens? Because I see the video and I see this, you know, the ship, and I believe it's credible, but I'm just like, you know, until someone, Dan, you say, like a friend of yours comes and says, you know what, I spend the last like 36 hours and there's, you know, I'm in a lot of pain right now. You know, what do you believe? So tell me about your friend.
I worked with him on a few occasions. So like not like
okay,
a true friend.
So,
acquaintance more or less.
But you know.
Was there any alcohol involved mind altering?
He was an eccentric guy, but not a guy I would think is completely off the deep end.
Okay.
And you know, he would just, you know, tell these stories about how he would have encounters and, you know, like camping grounds and things like that.
Oh, like where, multiple?
Right.
So where, I think once you're in the club,
like,
right?
Like they know that you're friendly, so to speak, you know, that they would revisit you. And you know, he had interactions with them, he had kind of conversations with them, even though they spoke a different language.
What? So this is kind of like, remember Telly Savalas in the Players Club? You know, so once you're in the club, you know, so aliens show up and
sure, it enhance your experience.
And so he had multiple experiences where and they were communicating.
Yeah. And
this is and you're telling the truth right now.
He was interviewed once on ABC about it, like hand to God. So.
Yeah, but he hasn't been holding that information out for the last 10 or 15 years, has he?
We've had friends that have said they've seen strange lights in the sky or something went by or nothing to the point of. And Dan, did they say what they look like if they're trying to talk to them? Did they have?
I did not catch that part. What the aliens look like.
I had an opportunity once to be on a plane next to a general who was from like NORCOM or Offutz base in it was like Strategic Command or something like that. And so my first opportunity, it would be the same if I, you know, ran into an alien, I'd ask him, you know, certain questions. So I got a chance to sit next to him, and he had, you know, a uniform with a lot of stars on it. You know, the kind where you're like, I don't see this every day. Like, you're a general, right? And he's like, yes. My first question was, because I think the public needs to know, and I'm part of the public, at least at this point. I was like, so what about the aliens? And he told me that he couldn't tell me. This is probably a stock answer. He's like, I can't tell you, but they're really good basketball players, right? Which is from Space Jam, right? But so you got the cartoon thing kind of coming together.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Dino, have you ever had anyone come to you and said, Dino, the craziest thing happened to me last night?
I talked to aliens.
Not you personally. If you did that, well,
no,
you
no, I have never done it. I don't
now.
Know. No, and I've never had anybody tell me that either. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So Dan, what did they? Did you tell me what they looked like? I couldn't remember.
He did not describe them in my conversation with him about it. So
you never. He was like, "What do they look like?"
Yeah, it was part of a group conversation, and I was young and I didn't know.
Okay.
What I should
all
say,
right. So all right.
Okay. I was like,
oh, okay, sir. Okay, sir. A lot of my interactions are like, gotcha. All right. It is about 4:15. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into if you need to know and trust. You know, whether you've seen some aliens, it's one thing if you've got a friend, you know, someone that you know personally, if not, maybe a trusted testimonial from a celebrity could be helpful as well. So we'll get to that. Celebrities who have seen or interacted with aliens, we'll get to that right after the break. 720 WGN, Dane Neal in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. Today, Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segru in the booth, and aliens from the universe all around us, watching us, probably studying us right now. And we talked a little bit about it. If you have anybody, you can go ahead and text it in as well, 312-981-7200. If you've had a friend that has ever said to you, you know, the craziest thing happened to me, I was abducted by aliens, or I saw an alien. You know, we've seen some of those shows, but some of them just come across less than credible. You know, when you have some of these characters on Maxwell, my 11-year-old, one of his favorite shows is Unseen Alien Files, Dateline, you know, Nevada, you know, and then it's because he'll reference that show as if it's completely 100% fact.
Right.
Yeah, not just entertainment. And I'm using air quotes there because it isn't that great of a show. Either way, they've got all sorts of different things, you know, and they show how aliens and Roswell and we've got bodies, you know, in a warehouse someplace and that we're regularly, you know, they're interacting with us. You know, whether it's the little tiny ones with the big heads and the big eyes, or there's a few different kinds. There's a reptile version. This is true, Dino. Don't look at me like that's crazy. There's a reptile version that's kind of more lizard-like. Then there's the grays, which they wear suits. They're like kind of Men in Black looking. And then there's the big-headed ones with the sort of ET fingers. That, the truth.
Yeah, that's the list. That's a list of the different type of aliens.
I guess those are the main
that have been seen or described.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they're all wearing clothes.
Listen, if any of you aliens are out there, give us a call.
312-981-7200. So, when you think of like who you would trust, I mean, I can watch a television show. I'm skeptical. I'm jaded. I'm cynical. You know, it's tough for me to buy in to because I haven't seen it myself. If I see them once, you know, if they you know come home or show up or knock on the door, I don't care what they want to do. Want to borrow something, a hedge trimmer, whatever. Then I'm a believer. You know, I'm with you. The only other way to do it. You could see some nameless people on television that look like they could be, you know, actors or doing whatever, just crazy people.
Sure.
You know, Dan met a guy that he worked with that said it, and so he's sort of believing that this could be possible. At least he knew that guy seemed.
Well, he thought, like, yeah, that he guy believed thought it, he believed right? it, right.
Are there celebrities out there, you use them for all sorts of different reasons and testimonials, whether, like, this is, you know, take it from me, I'm Brett Favre, no. Wear this copper pair of socks.
I'm Wilford Brimley. Right. Need your diabetic supplies or aliens.
Right. You know, but they've got the catheter guy on there.
Sure.
I saw him at the bus stop. The other day at our train station, actually, and I swear it was that guy from the either way, you've got an endorsement. Some people, whether it's Henry Winkler and the reverse mortgages, 10 celebrities who believe in aliens or UFOs or said they were abducted. Now, so it looks as though, okay, in the wake of the $22 million Pentagon program for UFO research, Blink 182 co-founder Tom DeLonge, interest in extraterrestrial life and identified aerial phenomena garnered renewed attention. So plenty of singers and actors have said that they believe that life beyond the confines of Earth exists, and many use the language is oddly similar. So this could be like maybe... Do you think the aliens would be more interested in celebrities, Dino?
Yeah, I think they might be because of the things that those celebrities bring to the table, a little bit more than the average person.
All right, what are they bringing to the table?
Sure.
Well, okay. So Katy Perry, she said she believes in aliens. I don't think this necessarily qualifies. She told GQ for a 2014 cover story. She looks up to the stars and imagines how self-important are we to think that we are the only life form. I don't think that qualifies. You know,
that's
just saying like, hey. I believe
possible.
That they could. It's like ghosts, right? You could believe that ghosts could exist whether you've had one around. I think you do the math and you think there's got to be something out there, right?
Yeah.
The universe is big. Halle Berry says, I don't believe we're the only species in existence. She told David Letterman back in 2014, my ego doesn't tell me we're the only ones who survived. It might take us 20 years, this is what Halle Berry is predicting, to get to those other life forms, but I think they're out there. Again, this is just opening up to the possibility.
Let's get that clock ticking right now, 20 years from now.
And then you've got Tom Cruise, who, you know, action hero.
Yeah,
you know,
Scientologist.
Yeah, we know the drill. And I'm not exactly positive. Dan, have you guys ever done anything on Scientology as far as like what it is? I mean, I think it's sort of like a religion, right? But I think the premise isn't it that the volcano is going to shot dinosaurs out a million years ago, and then whenever it's time for the end of the world, some kind of apocalyptic deal, we'll all run to the ship. Is that true? Isn't that kind of the way it goes?
I have not studied the religion, so I will say yes. Why not?
Okay.
good answer.
So Tom Cruise is kind of noted as being eccentric and a little kind of
odd. Yeah, he's out there.
Yeah. He says, are you really so arrogant as to believe we're alone in the universe, he told a German newspaper while promoting War of the Worlds.
That was a science fiction movie right there. You know,
about aliens coming.
Exactly.
Billions of stars, we're supposed to be the only living creatures. No, there's many things out there. We just don't know. Okay, then you've got a guy who I think is an expert in the field, William Shatner, right?
He's been on his own planet for years.
When you've been a starship commander the way that he has, you've achieved that. We've got to stop the aliens from coming to the planet. There's no doubt that life is out there. The mathematics of it leads you to that absolute conclusion. He told the Montreal Gazette back in 2010. In his mind, there's no doubt that the universe teems, Spock, with lives in all its forms. But would they, you know, why wouldn't they come and visit us? And why wouldn't they make themselves known? I think that's, here's the thing. Part of it is the whole premise that the government doesn't want us to know because we won't be able to handle it, is that we will go crazy. It'll undermine, I guess, the ability to respect the government. It'll make people crazy. There'll be mayhem. I think by this video, when no one seems to care, you guys didn't even bother to watch the video that proves alien ships were out there. You're just like,
Yeah, it's old news.
I think that we wouldn't care. I think the aliens would show up live in the news. An alien is going to show up and it gets low ratings. You know, right.
0.1.
Donald Trump is like, the alien was low energy, you know, so that's what you got. So Demi Lovato, who's long been an expert of something, right? She's a singer, pop singer. 2014, Aliens That Started Out. She said it got weird. She told Myers that she saw an extremely convincing documentary on mermaids and explained that they might be alien species. See? Now, here's the thing, 312-981-7200. If you think that, the potential aliens could be things that we've just kind of blended into other things. You hear those stories or you see the hieroglyphics, you know, where they show kind of space guys on ships. You know, the ancient Aztecs or Mayans, they put it in there, the pyramids. But really, it was aliens.
All along, it was aliens.
What do you think, Danny? I mean, do you think that could be that maybe some of the things in the past could have been, you know, alien interaction, but the people back then didn't know how to process it?
I mean, that is what we attribute to a lot of things that we, you know, don't know. You know, you just kind of make it myth, you make it things like that, you know, and try to find meaning for things. You know, obviously the quote-unquote scientific answer is that they were just manatees and all those guys were just on sea for so long that anything that kind of looked like a woman.
I see, Dan. Dan, you make so much sense, because I think that makes a lot more sense that, you're right, these weren't mermaids, they were manatees, which could
manatees.
Be
manatees. They're almost extinct.
Well, you think about it. I mean, from a distance, you know, could be like a...
If you've been on a ship for 3.5 years...
manatee could look pretty appealing.
Manatee looks like it's a manatee.
It could look pretty appealing. Okay, so Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers fame, right, has decided that he saw some... But these were just things out in space, you know, like lights, and he thought they were flying saucers. And then Fran Drescher, most famous for her role as Fran Fine in The Nanny.
There's the voice of reason right there.
1993 to 1999, told a romantic love story regarding her ex-husband, Peter Mark Jacobson. It involves an alien abduction. Now, she contends that her and her husband were both abducted by aliens separately, that the aliens implanted chips in them, and that they programmed them to get together because they have a similar scar. That's where the chip is located. That's what. So that, of all the people that weren't promoting a movie that made sense at the time, Fran Drescher was the only one that... So there's your testimony.
Miscredibility right there. Wow.
Wow. Okay. 4 a.m. I'm not sure if we got anywhere with that. You know, as far as... I didn't have a compelling, you know, celebrity testimonial.
No, I don't think their arguments were very solid there.
All right. Well, maybe...
But it was a good effort.
Yeah. And I think the aliens are coming out. Jazzy. 720 WGN. Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. Allstate Showcase Studio, 7th floor of Tribune Tower. Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan Segru in the booth as well. Kind of looking back to some of your favorites as far as the cartoons, some of the cereals, some of the toys, some of your favorite, you know, all-time music hits that involve animals performing. You know, we've had a kind of an eclectic blend here. And so where they sort of collide here is, and getting back to some of those, and again, you can share yours, 312-981-7200. Clutch Cargo. There's a lot more Clutch Cargo fans than I thought there would be.
Yeah, that was a, you know, one that was on every day when I was a kid. And I remember watching it when the lips didn't match what they were saying. And you know, it's a lot of classics back then. That was one of them.
Animals were front and center in a lot of these cartoons. You mentioned, was it the Laugh Olympics, where oftentimes the participants, although it was an Olympic setting, which is typically a human sports competition held every 4 years, a lot of times there were animals, right?
Most of them were. You know, they're all split in different factions. The really rottens, it was all the villains, all the... they were all on one group, and they all competed against each other.
So the really rotten were the villains or the bad guys. Yeah. And what was the other?
I'm trying to think of what the other ones were. I know there was.
Do you remember offhand? No, we don't remember the really rotten. But here's the thing too. So ABC, and this is back in 76, a part of that lineup. Tom and Jerry, both animals. Right? Yeah. One is a mouse and a cat, I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah. That's what they were.
They
and
were.
Then Grape Ape, who was kind of a hypothetical gorilla guy, right?
Was
he the hurdy-gurdy? Was that where they he would dance around? And then he would stomp and stomp out crime? Wasn't that Grape Ape? Didn't they have
stomping out crime?
Wasn't that the way that it was?
Grape Ape.
So Grape Ape is a purple ape, right?
Yeah.
And
hence the
term Grape, right? And so there's always some kind of thing that happens. It wasn't just like, what are you doing today, Grape Ape? I don't know, I'm just hanging out. You know, there's always some kind of thing happening. And didn't he have a I hope I'm not thinking of maybe like a different cartoon.
You're crossing your cartoon
maybe,
characters?
But didn't they have sort of this thing that you'd wind it up and then Grape Ape would jump around and like, was that him? Was that Grape Ape? Anyway, so he was there, and then Mumbly, who was a kind of a mumbling character. I think it was a dog kind of thing. The snickering dog from Wacky Races joins his fellow Hanna-Barbera creations empty.
Then he was in the Laugh Olympics too.
This was one of my favorites. I would watch this all the time, 9 o'clock on ABC. I don't remember the time period. I just remember sitting there. But Jabberjaw was a shark with a big mouth, and he was kind of a fast talking shark.
Yep.
Who found himself? I don't know if he's always in the water, but
he wasn't.
The Dynamutt was a robotic version of Scooby Doo. Joins the cowardly Great Dane for an hour mid season. The show was lengthened to an hour and a half. So this was, and then the Croft Super Show, different segments including Wonder Bug, Speed Buggy was. I remember Speed Buggy. Yeah. You remember him?
Yeah. And then that was a. I think it was the same group that did the Banana Splits too.
Dr. Shrinker. Do you remember Dr. Shrinker? He was a madman with an evil kind of shrink ray.
And no, that's one I don't remember.
Dinah Girl. Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales? He was a cartoon?
No, he said, it was a blend of, your actual human being. Soupy Sales, if you remember him, he was a comedian, wasn't he?
He was.
Okay.
Yep.
Legendary kid show host and TV pioneer Soupy Sales was the host. Young people competed in wacky games for scholarships and merchandise. And then this is it, right? The same people here for the Saturday morning cartoons. It was only, there was like 10 celebrities. They were on every single game show, whether it was Match Game or whether it was Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
And so you had Marty Allen, Phyllis Diller, Joanne Worley, Abe Vigoda, Leslie Ann Warren, Avery Schreiber, Don Knotts, Liz Torres, Jackie Cooper, Vicki Lawrence. And then, of course, you had American Bandstand. And for me, that's when I knew the entertainment stopped because, I mean, after a while, you got into the music situation. But for cartoons, you knew that you were at the end. You had reached the end of, it was like your stop to get off on the TV watching when you were a little kid when Bandstand.
Yeah, when American Bandstand came out at noon.
Yeah.
Time to get out. You kids, give up. It's all over.
We've got the list of like the 21 best cartoons of all time. Maybe Patrick has one that he can share with us as well. Patrick, welcome to WGN. There we go.
There he is.
Patrick, chime in.
How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. So do you remember getting up and watching cartoons on Saturday?
Oh, for God's sake, man. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays and would watch the Farm Report at top of the morning on Channel 9, waiting for the cartoons.
Who was doing that one? Marty McNeely?
I can't remember who it was. I just remember watching it. It was 5 in the morning, nothing was on except for the Farm Report.
Maybe it was Orion Samuelson probably doing it back then.
I don't know if he was doing the TV, but it was certainly better than a test pattern. But then you wait. And so do you remember a couple cartoons that you wanted to share that you watched?
Well, you guys talked about Jabberjaw. Did you remember he was inspired by Curly?
Yes, because he did the yuck, 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 right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the yuck, yuck, yuck. I don't get no respect. I watched the Seals and Marty Croft Super Show, Captain Cool and the Kongs, Electro Woman and Dino Girl, Dr. Shrinker, Wonder Buggy. They had a couple of shows with the Wonder Buggy, because I think there was a cartoon called Wonder Wheels, which was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. I also was a huge fan of Bugs Bunny growing up. You always watched. I think they always had like an hour and a half to 2 hours of Looney Tunes on Channel 2.
Yeah.
So that was a Saturday morning staple. There was another show called Tarzan and the Super Seven. I liked that show because it had a black superhero couple, Super Stretch and Micro Woman. He could stretch.
Super
and
Stretch.
Super Stretch and Micro Woman.
Oh, nice.
So he could stretch. You know, I'm guessing she could shrink down into small sizes and go through a keyhole or under
exactly
a door.
She was small sizes and would get into small places, and he just stretched as far as you could stretch him. So, and we all remember Fat Albert and the Cosby. Basically, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids is what ended your Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, yeah, that was 11:30. That run you right up to noon.
You know, it's tough to explain to like our kids now that there was kind of appointment television because you couldn't record anything really, you know, and you had to. This was your time to get in there because there was cartoons. You know, unless you watch like a really blurry, you know, Channel 32 at some point with Banana Splits or something, which I guess it was your only time to watch it.
32, you really didn't get cartoons except in the afternoon, and that's when we had Cartoon Town. You talked about Clutch Cargo. You remember a show called Space Angel?
Yeah, I don't remember the premise of it. I do remember seeing it, though.
Right. Same as Clutch Cargo with the lips that the
lips didn't match, yeah.
Pictures and the lips moving. So there was that. There was Speed Racer. We had McGilla Gorilla.
McGilla Gorilla was a classic.
Man, Speed Racer was so good. McGilla Gorilla, maybe that's what I'm thinking of with the hurdy-gurdy. Maybe that's what.
Yeah, Hurricane Hippo. You know,
Hippo, Hurricane Howard. Now, here's the thing. What I think, have you ever watched Adult Swim on Cartoon Network?
I mean, sure, you know, with like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and stuff like that.
I'm bringing up Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Because they take all those old Hanna-Barbera characters, Peter Potamus. They actually did a stint with Grape Ape, where Grape Ape was a drug addict and was going to rehab. And it was weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And they did another one on gun control with Quick Draw McGraw. And he was supposed to be a Charlton Heston-like character.
How's it going, Mr. Ricochet?
And the thing was, instead of it being a gun, because remember Quick Draw McGraw, he had his alter ego El Kabong, and he's always hitting people over the head with a guitar.
Oh yeah.
Instead of being a gun, it was his guitar. That was the weapon.
Quick Draw McGraw and Ricochet Rabbit.
Bing, bing, bing. Oh my gosh, when you build
up Funkin' Puss, Mushmouse, the three Yippee Yappy Yahooey. I can sit here and just go on and on. I drive my wife nuts. How do you have a mind for this stuff? This was my Saturday morning. I mean, then you have Sunday mornings, H.R. Puff and stuff, Make a Wish, BJ's Gibble Snort Hotel.
Oh, yeah, I watch that every week.
Yeah, see, Patrick, you're getting into some of these where, you know, they weren't necessarily cartoons. Because remember, Giggle Snort Hotel, where they had...
It was Bill Jackson doing all the different... And the blob.
And clay carving.
Right. Exactly. That was like an offshoot of this Cartoon Town, except it was the hotel. You know? They weren't really cartoons, but it's still...
And that was the stuff of your youth.
Being in it without, it's not animated.
Some of these were great, and I think it was kind of an eclectic blend because some of them were great, and some of them the bar was sort of low on what people needed to do. You know, like Shazam was one that got brought. It was just a guy in an ill-fitting costume running around the desert. You know, he was in like a Winnebago or something. Right?
Yes, they were going around him and his mentor, Billy Batson and his mentor, going around.
This guy's the house of information right here. We got to remember Patrick when we talk about cartoons.
Thanks, I
go nuts with this stuff, man.
Well, thanks so much for sharing, because a lot of that stuff is kind of, it's all in there, you know, for all of us and the listeners and for us for sure, but a lot of it, you know, it takes, you have to say, you know, all those, you gotta say the words Tennessee Tuxedo before you really think like,
Tennessee Tuxedo, nobody believes this. The 3DBB is the precursor to Google. And every time I say, babe, let me look at the 3DBB. What is a 3DBB?
What are you saying to that, Chum
Lady? Three-dimensional blackboard. Yeah. It's Google. It knows all.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. We got to get to the weather, but I appreciate you checking in. That's
fantastic.
Been awesome.
No problem. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. Thanks. It is maybe a quarter after four. When we come back, if you're on the line, stay hold. We're going to get to you, and you can share your cartoon hits from the past, 312-981-7200. You can text them, and you can call. Give them to Dan. Of course, we'll talk to you as well. 720 WGN live here, Allstate Showcase Studio. on the seventh floor. Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. talking, kind of reminiscing, looking back not only to 2017, but way back in all your favorite cartoons. When cartoons were a staple, it was the thing as a kid you looked forward to, whether it was a Saturday morning.
Or during the week after school.
After school. Yeah, and there's some of those. We've got a list of them as well. I wanted to mention, of course, one of the texters, and you can add to that as well. I didn't necessarily get a chance to read some of these, but Captain Caveman was great.
Yep.
And one of my favorites was Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy.
That's right.
And some of the premise, when you look at it, it wasn't all about killing each other, you know, like with Tom and Jerry or the coyote and Bugs Bunny. Sometimes, you know, wasn't it where he was a secret spy and he lived in a dumpster? With Hong Kong Phooey, right?
Yeah.
He had some karate moves, but he was also a maintenance man.
Is that the Miyagi version of the song?
No, I think he was. I think he was a janitor or something. Like 312 with a Scatman Crothers, I think, was the voice. 312-981-7200. You can add yours as well. We'll get to the list. We do have Kara. Thanks for waiting, and welcome to WGN.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Pardon my voice. I have a little bit scratchy voice. I lived in Southern California, and I had the trifecta of Japanimation. I had Simba the White Lion, or Kimba the White Lion, I'm sorry, Speed Racer, and Gigantor.
Gigantor!
And it was on PBS, on our public broadcasting. It was on, like, Sunday afternoons, and I lived to watch those. They were awesome.
Speed Racer, and of course, Racer X is his brother. What Speed doesn't know.
Right.
Right.
His brother was Racer X, his arch enemy.
But I even remember the songs and everything. Like, go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer. It was hilarious.
Well those are
awesome.
Those are some of the iconic. When you know you've made it, especially from a Speed Racer perspective, when they've made feature films based on the cartoon, right?
I know, right? Right. And yeah. Kimba the White Lion is Lion King, so they even have Scar with the big scar on his face.
Oh,
there you go. It all ties in together.
Well, Kara, thanks.
Yeah, it sure does.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you all.
You
all
right. Too.
Yep.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas. Yep. See ya. So some of the ones that are, you mentioned, you know, the after school. Of course, we've been talking a little bit about the Saturday morning situation, which, you know, which was kind of big, right? You'd sit there, you'd suffer through the farm report. Sorry, Orion. You know, but as a little kid, you know, sure. Pork bellies wasn't necessarily what you were hoping to see, but it beat the test pattern for sure. But then you mentioned the after school side, and you had a bunch of those, you know, kind of like the Thundercats.
Right.
You know, you had some of those where you'd come home and you'd see.
Spider-Man was a cartoon then, too. It was on after school. I remember that.
We've got the top 40. Dan has been nice enough to print out the top 40 cartoons of all time. And of course, there's going to be some give and take, and people are going to have their own suggestions. There are so many great ones that people are getting as well. We're going to read some of those texts. I think Dan might print out some for us. But number 40, Mighty Mouse. I remember Mighty Mouse.
Yeah.
He was a mouse, kind of
a little chunky.
He was a little muscular. Yeah. Maybe some steroids, I think.
Yeah,
in this
could have been.
Age,
it pumped him up a little bit.
Performance enhancing. So he's at number 40. Underdog is in there. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's another kind of more recent incarnation of the cartoon world. The Bugs Bunny and Tweety Show. You know,
where that was a separate spinoff.
It's kind of like a Captain and Tennille kind of situation. They get them in there. He-Man, that was an after school kind of thing. Rocky and Bullwinkle. These are, you know, this is when cartoons mimic, I don't want to say real life, but maybe real imagined life, which our relationship in the Cold War.
Watch me pull another rabbit out of my head.
And I think it mirrors a lot of the things that were with the whole Russian situation. Wasn't Natasha and Boris?
Weren't they mad enough?
Yeah. Weren't they? I just remember them consistently trying to tie people to railroad tracks. Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah. No, that was no. You were thinking of Dudley Do-Right.
I don't even know.
You got them all blending together.
Well, yeah, there's a moose. Didn't Dudley Do-Right ride
squirrel.
A moose? Yes. There we go. So Winnie the Pooh. There's always a moral to the story with Winnie, and it was don't eat too much honey, right? And
you might get your head stuck in the honey pot.
Right. So he was very popular. Thundercats. It's the Inspector Gadget. Which made it to a feature film starring Matthew Broderick, right?
Right.
So, you know, you did some things there. The Smurfs. Now, the Smurfs were one of those kind of phenomenon that not only were hits, you know, on Saturday morning with the cartoons, but also spawned an entire kind of toy empire.
Yeah, the blue. That was the Smurfs. That's all I remember about them. I don't really remember a whole lot about them except they're all blue.
And they had names that mimicked
Papa
emotions.
Smurf and, yeah.
happy Smurf, jokey Smurf, friendly Smurf.
Drunk Smurf.
There was no drunk Smurf.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Dan, was there like a car? Were you? Did you like the Smurfs? Was there like a cartoon that you watched? You don't have to admit it if want to.
Not Smurfs. You know, I was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was in my wheelhouse.
See?
That came out when I was, you know, 9, 10 years old.
I like pizza.
I like pizza.
You should have been. I've had them in studio a number of times.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's right, because of the race?
Because of the race, because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 400. So I had a number of them in studio. Now, these are as real as they get. Sorry, kids, if you're under the impression. But where they would show up, they'll be able to go to gymnasiums and, like, do all the moves. You know, they're real-life, like, ninja-type activities. You know, they didn't speak a lot. But just like, you know, the kids never seem to question that Mickey Mouse can't talk. You know, at the theme parks, you know, they just have the big paper mache heads. You know, everyone was kind of okay with it. But from a radio perspective, having to interview them was a little bit difficult, right? So they
did they use like sign language, or if they didn't speak much, but
they just had handlers, and we just did other things.
Do you like pizza? Yeah, raise their hand up.
Dino, you mentioned food, and you mentioned food and cartoons, and Yogi Bear was one of those guys. His obsession was not to kill.
And so it was to get in the picnic basket.
Right. He was trying to work the angles.
And that ranger never got it right.
Yeah.
He always got it. He always slipped past that ranger. He had no idea what was going on.
So, but you had the camaraderie, right? You had Yogi and his boon companion, Boo Boo.
Boo Boo.
Right?
Yep. Come on, Boo Boo.
I can't remember. Was Boo Boo trying to... Oh, that'll never work. Whatever, Yogi. And Chris, Yogi was the mastermind, right?
Yeah, Yogi wanted no part of Boo Boo's advice. It's like, get out of here, Boo Boo. I'm right.
Oh, my gosh. Fractured Fairy Tales from the 815. Pink Panther. Come on.
That's a classic. That's another one with an iconic song.
When you know you've made it not only to feature films, but also construction supplies and insulation. When you can do
that little Corning fiberglass. Yeah. Sure.
You've done it. Garfield and Friends. Now, Garfield was a great comic. He loved lasagna, so from the food perspective, he was involved with that, right? Garfield wasn't eating lasagna.
There was a movie about that. Bill Murray had the voice for Garfield.
312-981-7200. A lot of people are texting them in. We're going to print them out when we come back from the news. We'll read some of the ones that you have, and you can add yours as well. We've got a couple more. Spider-Man, that's been mentioned. X-Men, I think of them as more of a kind of a feature film. The Jetsons?
Yeah, meet George Jetson.
Now all that stuff's old school. Yeah. We have all the...
Yeah.
We got it all.
And you're right.
And SpongeBob. SpongeBob is a cartoon that I enjoyed to this day.
Well, I took my nephews to see the movie a couple of years ago when it came out, the old SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Yeah, he had a lot of kind of neurotic idiosyncrasies, and of course him and Patrick, his friend, and then the Krabby Cakes.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that. It was all right.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to read some of the ones that you have added in. We'll talk to you on the phone as well. So if you're on hold, continue to hold. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN, Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. here. Allstate Showcase Studio, with the upper level showcase, the second floor of the showcase.
Actually, the seventh floor of the tower, correct?
Yeah, we are. I don't want to be too specific, you know. But if you stack the studios, this is the...
We're going to hide out, in case someone gets through the security staff. Well, hey, there they are.
We talked about Fran Drescher. It's got me concerned, you know, with aliens.
Well, those aliens could just slip right through here.
They could implant a chip at a moment's notice.
You could be talking to one right now, and you don't even know it.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's how they do it. They come back as people that you know.
There it is.
And appreciate. Just like the listeners, and they've called in, texted in with a bunch of different Saturday morning cartoons we grew up in with, you know, sitting there watching the test pattern, then they start up. And a lot of these kind of the superstars, right, of our childhood. And some of them, there's so many that get mentioned. You're like, oh, yeah, that one. You know, Felix the Cat was one. You had He-Man, the Groovy Ghoulies, Beanie and Cecil from the 630 Secret Squirrel. There's a secret for you.
Oh, Senor Secret.
And then from the 815, Thundar the Barbarian. It was with Oklahoma.
Was that Conan's cousin?
No.
I don't know what that one was.
I gotta play it. Maxwell had memorized, and I don't know why he was even, it was just on like Nickelodeon or something. It's all these things, all the things that we're watching, you can definitely get a hold of and see some episodes to this day. So Thundar the Barbarian, there's a whole kind of statement that he makes, Thundar the Barbarian, his Ookla the Mock, and Princess Ariel. And Maxwell, when he was only 2 years old, had the whole thing memorized.
Oh, all boy.
And I didn't put him up to it. I didn't say, like, do this. And
sit in front of the TV and remember all this.
He didn't do anything. He just did that sort of like a savant thing. He's grown out of all that.
You're not doing it now as an 11-year-old?
He doesn't do that. But we've got a ton of different ones in here. You got Lamb Chop, and Lamb Chop was a hand puppet, so I guess... Remember, the bar was slightly low, so yeah.
Sure.
Mr. Rogers was a guy from Pittsburgh who decided to put his sneakers on, make you watch that.
Ah, neighbor.
He had his, like, magical world with Lady Eberlin and the mailman.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
He had the trolley and all the whole bit.
All that stuff. And then, of course, Flintstones. We didn't even mention
that. That's a that should have been near the top of the list.
Gosh, you got the Flintstones. And then, okay, so on the line, of course, you can add your thoughts as well by text, or you can talk to us, 312-981-7200. Jeffrey's got one. Jeffrey, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, I was going to mention, you already mentioned one of them, the Groovy Ghoulies, that used to be on Sunday.
Yeah.
And another one was Dick Dastardly and Muttley and their flying machines.
Part of the Laugh Olympics as well, as we mentioned earlier.
Yes, right. They were the,
and the squadron was named the Vulture Squadron, and their idea was to shoot down the pigeon. They carried the message across the battlefield.
Oh yeah,
boy,
Dick. They looked like they were flying a bunch of old World War I aircraft. And they would all dive at the pigeon at the same time, and they would all have a mid-air collision, you know. And you'd see Dick Dastardly falling to the sky, and, you know, to what appeared to be his death, he would crash into the ground. And Muttley would spin his tail, and it was like a propeller, and he would fly off. So he never hit the ground, but Dick Dastardly did.
Oh, well, that's just, it goes to show you, the moral of the story is don't be dastardly, and maybe Muttley will save you. All right, well, thanks, Jeffrey. I appreciate you chiming in there. These are great ones.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Ben. Muttley. So he was part of the Laugh Olympics, which is kind of like an all-star game.
I may be getting
right?
them confused with Mumbly. He was in there. They split it up into three teams. It was the Really Rottens, the... Scooby Doobies and the Yogi Yahooies.
You think they took a full 5 minutes around a conference table? So what do we name them?
Well, who do we want to throw in on each team? Quick Draw McGraw, Augie Doggy, and Doggy Daddy. You know, there was a whole, each team had a cast of characters within it. So I just remember watching that a lot as a kid. So. That's my 2 cents on that.
One of the ones that we've got brought up, and people from both the 630 and the 815 have chimed in with the Jetsons. Now, the Jetsons were...
Classic.
And you had a lot of the... I bet if you look at the Jetsons now, we probably got all that stuff. We probably have... You know, we've got a Roomba, you know, the thing that cleans...
I don't think we have... aircraft or people flying around though instead of cars.
Well, I mean, there's planes. Yeah, I guess you're right. We still have work to do if we're going to catch up with the Jetsons. But back then, think about this: is, you know, celebrities that were, because Muhammad Ali, if you want a testament to just what a big personality he was, what a big celebrity he was, you know, he was obviously a sports hero, you know, heavyweight champion of the world, and
icon.
Olympic boxer, right? But also had his own cartoon. You know, you've made it when you had the Muhammad Ali cartoon. Do you remember that one, Dino? Like, what did he do?
Not really. I remember, I don't remember the premise of it besides, I guess it was him being a great, being a great athlete, I'm not sure. I don't know what that was all about.
Would he do some sort of wind up punch?
Well, he probably just
did
the rope a dope and then knocked the guy out that was trying to commit a crime. I'm not sure. I don't think it wasn't like a superhero thing. If anybody knows that, give us a call. I have no clue about that.
So from the 708, and maybe someone can help with this, what was the cartoon about a sheepdog and a coyote, and they would punch in and spend the day trying to kill each other, and then at the end of the day, they would go home? I remember that, right?
I love the punch-in part. That's the best part. We're going to clock in.
They would show up with their lunch boxes. Hey, what are you doing today? Hey, everything. How's it going? How was your weekend?
It was Huckleberry Hound. Wait a minute.
And then they would punch in, yes, and they would spend the day attempting to kill each other. Then they'd be done, and that would be about it. Of course, Foghorn Leghorn. You remember him?
Oh, of course. I say. Yeah, I remember that. That was a great one. One of my favorite cartoon characters still, though, was Marvin the Martian from
didn't he have the plutonium 3?
I'm going to blow up the Earth.
See?
My space modulator.
Hey, that's not bad.
You know, now and then I throw it out there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I think that, again, is another example of aliens and their nefarious intentions related to.
Somehow Marvin gets in there now and then, but, you know.
So Dave from Monroe, Wisconsin, calling from the 608. Johnny Quest. Johnny Quest was another way that, you know, wasn't it where he was a son of
an cartoon
explorer guy? Wasn't there like a dog involved? Didn't he have a friend of Indian descent and they would go off solving crimes? I mean, wasn't that Johnny Quest?
I think that's right, but you know, correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a while since I've seen that cartoon. So
we've got Top Cat and Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, that's from, wasn't that from... what you would call The Simpsons?
Right, it was a cartoon within
a cartoon.
Within a cartoon. Well, we've got Joanna on the line. You've got one to share. Joanna, welcome to WGN.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
The sheepdog and the coyote were Ralph and Sam.
Ralph and Sam.
And wasn't that the premise? Like, they would, like, their job was to, you know, kind of battle each other, but they kind of took it seriously?
Yeah, it was Sam the sheepdog. His job was to protect the sheep.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that now. That's right.
The coyote's job was to steal the sheep. and then the lunch whistle would blow, and they would stop, and they would, you know, sit under the tree and get their lunch boxes out and have lunch. And then the,
pick it up again,
the whistle
after
would
lunch.
Blow, and they would go back to work. That was part of the Looney Tunes.
Wow, that's perfect.
Oh, that's
well,
great.
Thanks for sharing that
all
with
right.
us.
Thanks, you, and I appreciate it. So,
thank you.
Yep, thanks yep. for listening. So when you're able to build in some of the normal things that people deal with, you know, it can be difficult, right? You're going to get in there. You're going to have to, you know, kind of do whatever your job is, whether it's to steal the sheep, right?
Or to
protect the sheep. It's, and everyone understands. It's just business.
Right. It's nothing personal. They're just going about their jobs. That's all. One's to take the sheep. The other one's to protect it.
So here's one that this was more of kind of a book. You know, it's one of those things. Have you seen the movie? Have you read the book kind of thing? Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh, yeah.
I think of him more as a book phenomenon.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't remember. But there was a cartoon about him, too. So I do remember seeing that. I didn't sit and watch it, but I did see that, you know, my brothers, the younger brothers, had watched it, but I had never saw it as a cartoon, you know, sat and really got into that. So
312-981-7200 to go ahead and add yours. Some of the more recent ones, still old at this point, because I remember enjoying them, but a little more edgy, right? You know, you've got your Beavis and Butthead, you've got Ren and Stimpy,
yeah.
Right, which sort of had the trappings of a traditional cartoon, but... You know, adults could, or at least right. young adults, could sit
had
back.
Had a little bit of an edge to it.
Yeah, could sit back and enjoy some of that stuff. So, again, we're going to have time to get into these. We're going to print out some of the rest of them. So many are coming in. So there is a lot of cartoon fans out there, and especially some great ones that you just haven't even thought about in years, much less heard about them. When you hear the name, though, it just, like, it takes you back
right.
to enjoying that. And probably you had a lunchbox with the...
The Mystery Machine. I had a couple.
You had the Mystery Machine lunchbox.
I don't
it's probably
so.
Worth some these days.
Yeah, if I had it, still
go back on eBay and kind of recapture your. We're going to figure out. We're going to capture the forecast right now.
All
right. So, Dino, you got that for us? 720 WGN Dane in for Nick here, seventh floor, relatively showcaseable studio. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segrew in the booth. So many great. Cartoons from the past. You got to have like a cartoon reunion. You know, get all these people in the room together. Laugh Olympics certainly brought a lot of them together.
You could do a marathon. Man. And you wouldn't touch it. You could do it for a long time.
So we've got a number of them. We're going to get to some of these as well. 773, let's not forget Top Cat. Wolf had texted in the Shmoo. Remember the Shmoo?
Shmoo.
Wouldn't he write out letters? He would like, I don't know.
No, I don't remember that one.
Goober and the Ghost Chasers, Three Musketeers, Adam Ant. He was a very popular guy. It's very small.
He had his own cartoon?
Not the singer. Dino's like...
Don't drink, don't smoke. Oh, I'm sorry.
There was a little cartoon guy. Is it Adam Ant? Did he have like antennas or something?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Canadian Bill, the Wolf Dog. This is... we're from Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner Show. We got that. Felix the Cat, the great theme song from the 574. Cool McCool, Johnny Quest. George of the Jungle Thompson, Super Chicken from the 262, Fat Albert, Johnny Quest, Jackson 5 cartoon, which was great. Someone had sent in, too, you know, with Foghorn Leghorn. Remember the
I say.
Right, yeah, you're a chicken. I'm a chicken hawk. I'm going to take you with me. And then a really cool, we brought up Clutch Cargo a number of times during the program, too, and Marilyn had sent in some nice backstory for it, is that the creator's daughter was deaf, but she could read lips, and hence the way the show
that's
looked that
why,
way.
So okay, we wanted to that's be why it worked out that way.
Turned out to be a...
Yeah, and of course, we can't forget Commander McBragg.
Commander...
he was part of the Underdog show, and it was one of my favorites. Commander McBragg was a guy who just told stories about how he... He saved things, and one time there was a massive flood, and I threw a bunch of sponges down and saved the day. Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know. It's one that stuck in my head because I watched Underdog every day when I came home for lunch.
There's no need to fear.
Underdog is here.
Yeah, there's a kind of that's a recurring thing we've talked about where some of the cartoon characters have jobs. You know, there's a love interest. You know,
well, Sweet Polly Purebred, but that was Underdog's love interest right there.
She was really attractive, I think, right at some point.
Yeah,
and so he had a job. Didn't he have a job?
He was a paper boy.
Okay,
a shoe shine.
Yeah, it was a shoe shine boy.
Mild mannered shoe shine.
That's right. And for whatever reason, these characters felt the need to keep their super identity secret. You know, oftentimes,
right?
You know, you couldn't be.
Until he jumped into a phone booth, blew the phone booth up, and then flew out of there with a big U on his uniform, or on his costume, or whatever it was he was wearing.
The 708, The Tick.
The Tick?
Yeah, you remember The Tick?
No. I don't, but what was it about? Was it about a tick bothering a dog?
312-981-7200. Anybody wants to give some backstory on The Tick? I'm familiar with, you know, I can see him, you know, like a tick-shaped guy with a sort of blue, right, and some extra arms or legs, whatever.
You're picturing it more than I am at this point.
But I don't know that I've ever, watched, The Tick. I don't know.
Yeah, what did he do?
I'm sure he Lyme disease, that's what he did. Everyone knows that. That's what he did. The Animaniacs. Goodness. Do you remember the Animaniacs?
No.
Okay.
I don't remember that one.
I think the Animaniacs was maybe a sort of a Laugh Olympic spinoff kind of thing. Does that sound right, Dan? I mean, do you know offhand the Animaniacs?
Yeah, it was late 80s, early 90s, and it featured three characters, and it was part of that Looney Tunes universe, and, you know, they went on strange adventures, and they had really catchy songs. I think Pinky and the Brain was part of that as well.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And then from the 251, not cartoons, but Lamb Chop, we brought it up. You know, it was a hand puppet. Remember
Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis. She was as big as you can. You know, people hear about the, you know, iconic, you know, the Charlie McCarthy, you know, kind of, wasn't he the puppet, the ventriloquist dummy?
Yeah.
With who was the puppeteer? Who was the one running Charlie McCarthy? It was Murphy Brown's dad or something like that.
To connect the dots on that one.
No, but it was famous as far as like puppet, you know, the puppeteering world. But, you know, Lamb Chop, wasn't it just a hand inside
of a... Yeah, just a hand inside of a... Could have been a sock for all we know.
I'm sure at one point it might have been. And then, you know, the bar was a little bit low, and anything that sort of catered to kids was something that we watched. I'm not sure if a show like Mr. Rogers could exist or be successful in this day and age. You know, and he had, if I remember correctly, and I didn't get a chance to watch a ton of Mr. Rogers, but he seemed very friendly, right? He had kind of a nice, soothing voice. There was a moral to the story. Touch had to tie your shoes.
Hi, right? Neighbor. Yeah.
And he was very neighborly.
That's right.
And didn't he have like a secret world like in his back room?
Yeah, he was all over the place. He had the secret world. The trolley took the, you know, everyone around to the other characters on the show, and then he had the postal guy that came by? What the heck was his name?
Speedy Delivery.
Speedy Delivery, that's right.
Mr. McFeely.
Mr. McFeely, that's correct.
He would come through, because as crazy or as offbeat as the world may be, whatever world, you still have to have public services, right? Yeah. You know, so you'd have, I'm sure, a garbage collector character. There was Mr. Sprocket, Chef Sprocket.
Yeah. Ah, yeah, deep voice like this. Hi, how you doing, Fred?
Got a chance, you know, on the auto side of things, if people remember, you know, I do the show on the road on Saturdays, 2 till 4, and we talk a lot of things, you know, formative you know, travel, little motorsports, all kind of stuff. There was a muscle car show where they had muscle bikes. Dino, did you have a bike when you were a kid?
I did.
A muscle bike with a banana seat.
I had a banana seat. I don't remember it being a muscle bike.
Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules are going to try to get you to follow. You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
There it is.
So there it
Matthew
is.
Matthew McConaughey dropping a little knowledge right there.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. So
someone
texted in from the 815. So he was the
right.
ventriloquist.
Candace Bergen's father.
Yep. So here's the reason on the muscle bike is one of the celebrity endorsers for the muscle bikes and with the banana seat was Captain Kangaroo.
No kidding.
Yes. And Captain Kangaroo and, of course, Mr. Green Jeans.
And now back to the captain.
Yeah.
I mean, that when I drink Captain and Diet Coke, but, you know. Captain Kangaroo. I haven't heard those words in a while.
Well, he's a superstar.
He was.
You wonder if a show like that could exist today. I'm not sure. But
no, I don't think so.
Got a little background on the tick from Glenn. No, Glenn, sure, welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
So we're kind of give us a little bit. Yeah. We've got a minute or so on the tick. I know it's popular, but we're sort of kind of in the dark.
Well, the tick was a superhero. He's dressed in his suit. He had a sidekick. I don't know what the guy's name was. But, yeah, it was a guy who was a superhero. And he'd always call out, Spoon! That was his phrase. Don't ask me why.
Spoon?
Okay. Animaniacs was the Warner Brothers and Sister Dot. And they always were spoofing Steven Spielberg on the cartoon. It was a Spielberg cartoon, I guess.
Okay.
It was a good cartoon.
Yeah.
And Pinky, of course, and Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one mentioned Mighty Mouse.
We mentioned it early on. We've been going a little bit deep into some of these cartoons, but Mighty Mouse was one of my personal favorites. I might have had a Mighty Mouse.
Yes, go ahead.
Nope, that's it. I was trying to think if I might have had a viewfinder, like a, you know, one of those kind of things of Mighty Mouse.
Oh,
you just cut him off. Oh, okay.
Let's talk to Paul.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so let's talk to Paul right now. It's just a couple minutes before 5, and it is time for the opening bell. Paul Listnick is in there. Paul, welcome to your show. Excited about coming up?
I'm not only excited about what I'm doing, I'm actually into what you're doing because you're living my whole childhood. I mean, the Captain Kangaroo, of course, you know, my world, Ray Rayner and pulling things off his shirt. And, you know, I hang over WGN TV, so I just walk in that studio all the time and go, wow, this is where Garfield Goose was.
And you wonder, some of those shows that were kind of, you know, for the community you kind of grew up on, you wonder if those kind of shows could exist today. I don't know that they could. It's kind of a moment in time.
Oh, I don't wonder. I can tell you the answer. Absolutely not. There's no way those shows would function today, which is why we live in a second childhood on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, there's a lot of kids right now, and every word that you're saying, getting ready to kind of invest in and work out of the business world. And so what's going on with the opening bell today?
Well, it's a great show coming up. Actually, we're going to be talking to Rock Schulfer in the second part of the show. He is the executive director over at the Goodman Theater. But we're talking about the business of theater. You know, you see a Hamilton opener or a show at a theater, and you just kind of take for granted that everything is perfectly fine and it's going to be a hit. It doesn't work that way. Some of the risks being taken. And Schulfer's coming on sort of in a really interesting way because, you know, The Christmas Carol, which is a longtime hit, 40 years of Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite the risk. And they thought it was actually going to fold. So anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun stuff. And we also have an interview with Don Lloyd, Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets. So lots of good business stuff coming up.
Oh, exciting stuff. And as you're doing that, Dino and I are going to write up the next Hamilton. Dino, you want to do that?
We'll get right to it right after the show ends.
Why don't you do it as the life? Pick up somebody like, you know, Andrew Jackson or, you know.
Okay.
Nixon. I don't think there's been a good musical about Nixon done in quite a while.
We could start out right now. I'll get the dialogue going, Paul.
I'm not a crook. Musical.
And it was all Holloman and Dean. It was their fault.
And the main theme, making it perfectly clear.
That's right.
Oh, I love it. All right. We're looking forward to that. Thanks to everybody listening to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Stay tuned for Paul coming up with the opening bell.